Hey, it's Russ Payton with Role Playing Public Radio. We are playing Savage Rifts, a Savage World setting. This is Symphony of the End, Episode 10, The Orchestra Redux.
OMG.
Yeah, because you're going back in the orchestra, which I'm sure you remember from all the way back in the second session when I explained a little bit about it. But we'll get to that in a second. In the last session, let's see here, the player characters did some shit, and they...
Did some shit. Good summary. Next!
I remember that in our last session, we went into Florida.
You did. That was the Dinosaur Song Blues, and then... Oh, yeah. What last session was 102.3 Real Rock FM. The players rescued the muse of classic rock, who was running a radio station. 102.3 Real Rock FM. We're not your granny station. Then Imagine Dragons Radioactive starts playing.
Oh, it's always playing.
Yeah, that's the joke. This will age well. So,
and I like to, it's my personal headcanon that on the way back from that mission, all of us were just involuntarily humming that song.
Oh, sure.
Because it's in our brain.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Pass it around.
Yep, there we go. Thank you. So, as a result of that, Steve has been promoted.
Officer now.
Yes, and we also have with us 44 and Cranberry Boghexer.
Hello!
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 How is it?
All right.
Like, oh yeah, you guys are here.
So yeah, let's talk a little bit about your promotion ceremony, because you've made it to ensign. You are now a leader,
a commissioned officer.
You're a commissioned officer. Ragnar Thunderaxe is there.
So he's the one doing the.
Yeah, he's the only person of the Tomorrow Legion I bothered to read up on. There's other leaders in there, but they're busy fighting bad guys.
Things.
Yeah, they're doing things. But yeah, who else is at the ceremony? Obviously, the other members of the Tomorrow Legion.
My extended family.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, all 20 of them.
Big family. Is that typical for the Grackleteeth?
Yeah, actually, according to it.
You're all basically Mormons, is that what you're saying?
No,
you come from the desert. Yeah, like.
I mean, yeah, it's so like, well, family and kin, it's not just, just biological. It's also just. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like if someone's close to you, that they're part of your family. Oh. So it's like, but it's a whole bunch of Grackleteeth.
Okay, a whole bunch of Grackleteeth.
And my grandma's there too.
Okay, so obviously,
She's my very grizzled grandmother.
Yeah. We call her Granny Grackletooth because she has one tooth.
She's got a full mouth of them.
So you're there in your dress uniform, which is newly made, and Cranberry, you're there too. You're in your dress uniform.
Well chuffed.
Yeah, well chuffed. Okay. And 44 is there. You're also in a dress uniform. How comfortable are you in your dress uniform? Like, how awkward is this for you to go through this military ceremony?
Well, actually, I'm just thinking about how proud my mothers are going to be once they see me dressed up like this.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Did you invite your mothers here?
Let's see here. No, they couldn't make it. Okay. They're very busy doing.
We had some photos
of their whole children sacrifices in the swamps.
I'm sorry, what?
No, we got.
Sorry, Cotillion.
Cotillion, yeah.
But anyway, no, they couldn't make it. But
you're not Wicker Manning over there, are you?
I'm going to send it.
Maybe a little Wicker Manning.
No Wicker Manning. No.
My iPhone has a 4K camera, some shit on it. It's going to be fine. I'll get pictures.
All right. Yeah. All right. 44. Yeah, you're there in your dress uniform as well. How comfortable are you?
Very un. I mean, I can't reach my tattoos through these pants. Why pants? Why pants?
Pants are required. They're dress uniform. Yeah. Yeah. It's non-negotiable.
When can I lose the pants?
After the ceremony.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm lucky. I never wear boots.
Yeah, they do have certain allowances for non-human species, right? Like, you know, people with wings, they get
slots in them.
Yeah, slots and stuff like that. And if you've got big reptile, clawed
feet.
Feet, what, hooves, whatever.
It's clawed feet, yeah.
Yeah, centaurs. You know, they don't have
those are juicy. Good people.
Yeah, not all of them. Some centaurs are jerks.
So what you would say is about half and half?
Yeah.
The other halves are horses' asses?
Yay. Yeah.
Then you ask them, like, hey, do you guys have two hearts?
Do you have two rib cages?
They definitely have
two rib cages.
Of course they have, but I'm like, do you have two, like a heart there and a heart up here?
They don't like talking about it.
Like, except when they're drunk, they're like, let me tell you everything about my physiology.
Yep. The train centaur secrets. So.
My mothers are there. Yeah.
They are there?
I've decided they're there.
Yeah, they're witches. They can use the ley line nexuses to teleport.
By the way, they would absolutely come out of their fetid cave.
Okay. It's a fetid cave. Okay.
Okay. It's like, with me, it's my grandmother, some aunts and uncles, mm-hmm. and a whole lot of like little cousins.
Okay. Do you have any? I mean, it's not your ceremony. You don't, you know, but did you invite anybody to this ceremony 44?
Well, I did let 23 know that it was going to be happening, but okay. I don't think she's going to come. I think she's busy looking for the master in Russia. Yes, okay. Russia.
A bunch of cyborgs there, warlords, Rasputin.
Very strong cyborgs.
Very strong cyborgs. A lot, many mega damage.
Strider was a documentary.
I mean, there is a Rips book called The Warlords of Russia, and they had lots of cyborgs. And they carry little power sickles.
We can role play Strider. No.
The video game?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it takes place in the Soviet future.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I played the Nintendo version, but I don't remember it. Anyway, so the ceremony begins. There's a bit of mingling beforehand, but everyone assembles. There's, of course, other members of the Tomorrow Legion. It's not everybody, but yeah, how would a promotion ceremony usually go? Usually there's like a speech. You march on there. The Tomorrow Legion, all of you have to march onto there on the stage. Ragnar gives a speech. How proud he's a very proud dwarf.
Well, like, obviously.
Yeah, because you've done so well on their secret missions, but they've going above and beyond the call of duty.
I like to think there'd be just a hint, like they've done so well. Beyond what we thought they could.
Yeah, no. They keep coming back. We keep sending them out.
And they keep coming back with success.
Yeah, which is wild. And how do you feel about this? Everyone's looking at you. Ragnar's praising you.
Under
Steve's leadership, the team has flourished.
And I'm kind of like, if I could cry, I would.
Aw.
I'm thinking like, should have sent a poet. That's kind of my whole thing. Is like, this may be the best moment of my life. And I'm only 20.
Yeah. And there's a speech. Then they pin it on you. Then there's a military band playing. Some high-tech instruments. And then there's going to be a dinner afterwards. Yeah. It's a pretty... I can't think of anything else a military promotion ceremony would have.
I'd volunteer to cook for it.
Okay, yeah, sure, yeah. What are you cooking?
Okay, this is a big military thing. It's going to be a very, I'm thinking definitely barbecue.
Barbecue, yeah. So you already, you had this ready. It's already been marinating and grilling and all that, yeah.
So what did you stuff the beaver with? I know that you said that your grandmother absolutely loves stuffed beaver.
Special cream.
We're going to be taking away Benny Boys.
I'm just responding.
Hey, that's a callback.
He did.
From the Buc-ee's part.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're right. I forgot. How could I forget about the Buc-ee's? So, yeah, it's a very nice time to have. How do your mothers like the ceremony? And is this their first time visiting Castle Refuge?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's probably like the first time out of the swamp in decades.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How are they handling it?
Oh, you know, I mean, I think, you know, they're kind of handling it. Not quite like Mennonite or Amish people do, but just kind of just, you know, it's not like they're in wonder and like ignoring people. It's just, you know, they're kind of aware, like we can't mesh here.
Yeah.
But our child lives in this world.
Mm-hmm.
We love our child.
Aww. Oh. Yeah.
But I mean,
they both got fresh peat sandals woven and sawed off their claws.
Well, I'm going to be very enthusiastic meeting them. Like, it's like, oh, it's so good to meet you. He's mentioned you so many times.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's strawberry and blueberry.
Strawberry and blueberry.
Like, yes. That makes sense.
It does. They have a true story to tell you why they have to be named like this.
Does it involve a wizard's curse?
Well, it definitely involves a magical being.
All right. And what does Grandma say?
All the cousins like from like ages like one maybe up to like 14.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, they all keep wanting to tackle me and like, and like, it's like, careful so we don't damage things because we can really easily do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, your uniform's still like not mega damage. It's just cloth. So yeah.
But I keep looking at her and she has that stern expression. Most
congratulations
of the time.
On your promotion. I'm sad that it's only to ensign.
No, but
should be higher ranked by now.
No, I mean, then a little later when, you know, after the dinner, she comes up to me and like just and like locks eyes on. And so like, I am more painfully at attention than I ever am with, you know, Ragnar with the dwarf.
Oh, sure.
And she's a, you did well.
Oh.
And then puts her hand on my shoulder, which is like, Like, it's happening.
Oh, no. Is it everything you imagined it would be?
And more.
Aw.
Because, I mean, and honestly, she's flabbergasted. Like, that's her way of basically saying, they made you an officer? Holy shit. I'm like, how? I mean, if she could show emotion that way, that's what she'd be like. How in the hell did you do this?
Yeah. Well, it's the nature of the military. If you keep surviving, showing up is half the half mm-hmm. of the
and then coming
career
back.
Yeah, and coming back. Yeah.
And then it's like then they're 7% and then succeeding.
Yeah. You keep succeeding, so they're like, you're doing something right. So we're just mm-hmm. going to make it official. So, yeah.
But then at the end, like, oh, like, it's like, Grandma, there's one more thing. I was able to acquire this, and that's when I show her, like, in its case, mm-hmm. my new NGE-15 pulse ejector.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, it's like a 90 grand energy weapon. And she's like, she shows interest in. Like, it's like, I see, like. This will do you well. Mm-hmm. Use it.
Yeah.
Use it many times as much as you can. slay your enemies before you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I will, Grandma. Like,
aww.
And then she actually gives me one more pat on the shoulder before swiftly kind of turning on her heel and marching away.
Aww. Amazing.
And actually, but all the kids are like looking at me stunned. Like,
yeah.
Grandma acknowledged you positively. Like, I know.
Oh, no.
I don't know how to handle this.
Oh, no.
But I'll manage.
Ooh.
Like, I have my friends to help me.
Sure. And yeah, the dinner leads to is a very long affair. There's a lot of barbecue, a lot of people, a lot of mingling, socializing. And then, of course, the Ragnar takes you to the officers club and you get introduced to the other officers. And there's a lot of drinking and it's not optional.
That's a good thing. I'm a giant near supernatural being.
Yeah. No. Well, they have alcohol.
Or they have something planned.
They have magical moonshine from the Millennium Tree brewed in the stump of a... Ancient Wizard's Tree.
Oh, God, it's British. It has flavor, doesn't it?
Oh, it has so many flavors.
And most of those flavors are peat.
It's the flavor from out of space. It's a flavor. It's an indescribable cosmic horror. And yeah, you give me a spirit check.
All right.
Let's see. You will be hungover, but how hungover will you be?
I gotcha.
Because it's a test of will, more of stamina.
Okay, and... Somehow I got them stuck in there. We go.
Good job.
I am a
You're role playing your drunken nature.
Yay! Yeah.
You do get a D6, so yeah.
Like, it hits me hard.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So the next, so that's this. You don't really have a chance to the drinking and the officer initiation and the training.
Oh yeah.
Kind of takes up your vignette, so you don't have any time to prep for your next. The semifinals.
I did that last session, but yeah. My cooking is now D10.
Yeah.
I achieved an epiphany.
Yeah. So.
But now is not the time for epiphany. Now is the time for passing out for blackout drunk.
Yeah, but there's a lot of training to go to be a new officer as you learn things about like administrating leadership and all that fun stuff.
And paperwork.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Welcome to the officer guy. You're now a manager. So meanwhile, Cranberry and 44 get to do something fun for your vignette. So
tell me about all of this swamp witchery, ladies.
Okay. Yeah. So 44 makes some friends with the Cranberry's parents, I would imagine.
I was kind of hoping David would play one of my mothers.
Okay. Sure.
Actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. So as an ongoing thing, if you want to make some extra credits, there's the Ghost MMO. As I mentioned before, where if you
dumping everything.
Yeah. So you need to do something a little more dramatic now. I think what did you do last time? Make a new song? Yeah.
I basically started banning people for no reason.
Oh, yeah. You need to do something different in order to make money. But if you want to do something else, like what do you want to do for your time off before your next mission? You could show your mothers around. This is just pure role playing. Like, yeah, what is Cranberry Bogkexer doing?
No, go hang out with mom.
Okay, yeah. You just show them around town and the castle.
Yeah, sure. Okay. I show them around Branson, Missouri.
Yeah.
Where can we shop for some of the things that we don't have in the swamp?
Oh, man. So, like...
Is there a clothing outlet of some sort around here?
Perhaps. And Manny's the size of t-shirt that they could offer. I'll summon a small spirit to guide us to the five and dime, mothers.
yeah, actually...
I can't believe your other mic pointing towards you.
Just realized. Anyways,
yeah. Is that better?
Yeah, yeah. All right, yeah. There's the new Five and Dime. It has been resurrected after it was destroyed in the rifts and then built up again, then destroyed again during gang fighting. And it's been every 5 or 10 years it gets destroyed and it just keeps coming back. Yeah,
it's herpes.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, yeah.
Oh, I've heard about this place. Is this where they have the Dollar General?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, he's their immortal guardian, the Dollar General. So yeah, you also show him take him to eat the restaurant of the Pizza Wizard, which is always a treat. So yeah, you just have a nice time. I'll give you a Benny for being a good son. So yeah, you can take an extra Benny.
Neat.
So yeah, 44. What do you want to do? You want to make some extra money? You want to do?
I think extra money sounds good.
All right. What are you thinking about for the ghost MMO? That's the easiest way. So yeah, you could go scavenge for hardware. You could try and get some new ghosts. You know, basically find where people are dying and like as they die, somehow contact them. It's like instead of going into whatever afterlife awaits you, do you want to like get trapped in a computer?
You like video games?
Yeah, you like video games. So you
there is this lovely afterlife that is nothing but one giant
or get game. New content for the game somehow.
Well, actually, new content sounds good. Okay. So after having played a little bit of it or at least seen the back end of it, I know the creatures that they have, but mm-hmm. I noticed that they don't have a lot of new character models.
Nope.
Fortunately, here we are in Rifts, where all we need to do is find a couple of critters of the appropriate size, shape, and ferocity and throw them in.
Okay.
And so I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to trap the spikiest Neo Armadillo I can find, because that's something that they don't have a model of.
Sure.
And then if we scan it and put it in and blow it up in size, now we've got a new creature.
Okay. So... I'd say it's pretty true for you to get like, yeah, so there's a couple different approaches for that. So one, you could just take photos and video of that and then subcontract an artist to do it for you. And then then your profit is whatever you get after paying the contractor, right? Or two, you could do everything yourself. What approach are you going to delegate and subcontract? Or are you going to do the capturing the images and scanning it and digitizing it and turn in? I don't know what your technical skills are, but you may.
Well, don't have a lot in the technical skill.
Yeah, so you may want to subcontract. Which is
why, I'm thinking subcontract, but then I can use the extra time. Mm-hmm. Since I'm not doing all of that to do extra legwork, and instead of just getting an armadillo, I can catch an armadillo, I can catch a
There's all kinds of wild shit.
There's a Wolpertinger over there.
Oh, yeah, there you go. So first off, roll persuasion to get a good deal with an artist and set something up.
Roll for Wolpertinger.
Persuasion, you say. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a 6.
All right.
And that is a 5, so that is going to be 11 plus my 2, so that's a 13.
Oh, yeah, because you are attractive. Yeah.
I'm pretty, Ross.
Yeah, yeah, you throw in a free modeling session for the artist so they can use your... Yeah, so, all right, so 13, that's very good. Now, how are you going to get the data, the stuff to send to the artist? Like, are you just going to stalk and take photos and videos from a distance, or you said capturing that, so, like, how are you capturing this thing?
Well, I'm going to take a box and a stick.
Really?
A snare trap.
Okay. Yeah. Survival. This is going to be an opposed check. The armadillo has many keen senses.
The wily rift armadillo.
Yeah, yeah.
The riftadillo.
The riftadillo, yeah.
Okay, so that's a pair of sixes. Let's see if I can make one of them explode. So it's going to be an 11.
Okay. All right. That beats the armadillo. So, yeah, you capture one armadillo.
Dillo.
Yeah. You manage to get some data on it. That takes a day. You contracted a deal for it. So I'll give you, let's see here, let's say 1,500 credits.
Nice.
Yeah.
And bonus, I now have an armadillo.
Oh, you have the armadillo. Okay. Yeah. What do Riff's armadillos eat? Cranberry, what do they eat?
Oh, man.
Something in the local region.
It could be fair, real-life armadillos are very useful for pest control because they normally eat bugs.
They do know, they eat Zictus. But these are Rift's armadillos. They, they could be mutant. They could be...
Ross, they eat Zictus.
No, they don't. They're, yeah. No.
They
There's no Zictus dreaded, in your area, so yeah.
They eat the dreaded Shepherd of the Hills tick, which is like your normal deer tick, but it's the size of a Buick.
No, the size of a deer.
Yeah, yeah, it's the size of a
deer. Actually, that's way funnier, yes.
All right, so
I'm glad I could help.
They eat these man-eating ticks. It's a cycle of life. Ticks eat man, armadillos eat the tick, and then man...
captures the armadillo at a profit.
Yeah.
And again...
All right. Know. So, yeah, you can have it down, but now every other vignette, you'll have to go out and capture or pay someone to capture one of these deer ticks or kill one so you can feed your pet armadillo. So just right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely worth it.
They are okay. Vulnerable to offspring.
All right. So it's been a productive week as you all recovered from your last mission. Steve got promoted and yeah, you all just had a nice time. But now Ragnar calls you in for a mission briefing.
I stagger in.
Okay, yeah, it's been a week, but yeah, it's that wizard booze was the wizard ale was pretty strong.
Like
he's brewed by a wizard and his army of owls.
Like, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Ensign and the squad. We made a breakthrough with our Muse research team. The Muses now you've rescued enough of them. They've started talking to one another and they've started like figuring out more, trying to learn more about the Symphony of the End. You know, we have some bad news. The Coalition and the Federation Magic do have their own Muses as well. And they're also researching this topic. So it's it seems we have the most though right now, but they all have at least two or three. It's hard to tell. Yeah.
Probably means they're going to come here eventually.
Well, they may not have to if they... Well, they may, but they may. And so we need to be prepared, but...
Our divine orchestra versus their blasphemous cacophony.
Yes. Well, they made a breakthrough in the sense that all of these muses... Remember, this was all a pre-Rifts research project, blending science and magic. And all of the Muse realms are actually somewhere on Earth in a massive underground structure. They nicknamed the Orchestra. Now, something's happened to the Orchestra and we're not sure exactly what, but we have, because with multiple Muses, we've been able to open a portal directly into the Orchestra itself, which was a massive underground research laboratory with military backing. And so you three are going to be the first team in. You are going to be the reconnaissance team to see what the state of the orchestra is. And obviously objective, any information on other muses, the Symphony of the End itself, which was the research project, and find out what's happening. If the Coalition's made access to this place or the Federation has made access to this place, these are all things, but you have to be the first inside. And so we will leave it. We'll take you to the underground portal chamber in the morning. So you have the rest of the day to prepare for it. But yeah, any questions?
No, would it be possible to use the orchestra to cut off the muses that the Coalition or the Federation have?
Possibly. That would be something to research while you're in there. Your primary objective is to recon this facility. If there's any local entities or beings in there that can be helpful, we don't think any humans are alive in there, or at least baseline humans, because they would not have had food or water for some time. It's been cut off since the rifts, centuries ago. So, but yeah, we don't know. This is all brand new to all of us. So if you find a way, great. But yeah. Okay. So yeah, you have the rest of the day. If you want to do anything to prepare, let me know. Otherwise, so 44, is there anything you want to do, or are you just regular getting ready for the mission? Get some. Yeah. Are you the kind of person who drinks a lot before you get on a mission? Or are you going to party? Or are you going to like go to sleep early, be well rested?
Go to sleep early, be well rested, but also get together supplies based on the briefing. So we know where we're going. I'm going to stock up on trail rations.
Yeah. You hit the armory request. There's a quartermaster there that you request extra field rations. They have them. Yeah. So yeah, you'll be well stocked. Cranberry.
Let's see. I call my buddy Stetson.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who is Sitson? Was your albatross, right?
Yeah.
He's still in Louisiana, isn't he? Or is he?
Yeah, he's probably still, you know, canoodling, but yeah. Noodling has come to an end. Dad, how do you get home?
All right, magically, I assume. Yeah.
Yes, I mean, like whatever powerful urge I could put inside an albatross.
Albatross.
Oh my god, you're the one making it gross.
Yeah, no. You magically, yeah, he's your familiar, right? Like, yeah. Yeah, you can summon him. Yeah. I forgot, what was his voice like? Was he just like a little cowboy guy? Or
it's almost like your cool red voice. It's just like,
hey, it's Stetson, I'm back.
All right, Stetson, I hope you give Fanny a good fat peck on the bird cheek, because you're coming with me to a fundament of a purgatory deep within the earth's bowels.
That doesn't sound like fun at all.
No, it doesn't. But you know what? I've let you sow your wild oats. And, you know, I need my familiar to do what I do when I cannot do it by myself.
Well, let it be said that Stetson is not a coward.
Although, never would. I mean, you know. Yeah. Well, I mean, I can make you do any of this. It's up to you whether or not you want to do it yourself. Anyways, we leave at the time I was told we're going to leave. Goodbye.
All right. Stetson shows up at dawn, you know, shortly before you have to leave. Yeah,
night before, like I actually go to like the bar that's in the, you know, the
officers' lounge.
No,
officers'
no.
club. Oh, okay.
No, the regular bar. Like, okay, like the night before, like, hey, I'm still feeling it. Mm-hmm. Remember that concoction we had to make? Yeah, when there was that turned out to be a guy that turned out to be a morphed dragon who got completely off his tits on something that I think came from one of the hells.
Yeah.
Could you whip me up a batch of the stuff the hangover cure we gave him?
Yeah.
Hey, okay, good. I think I'm going to need some.
Okay.
I did something like it. The sound of like, you know, yeah, like liquids mixing, pouring, smoke, screams.
Has to put on thick little rubber gloves and blast goggles. Gas mask. Yeah.
And then there's the sound of screaming.
Yeah.
And then, like, a whispered voice that, you know, it's wanting your soul.
Yeah. All right.
And then comes out, like, just, and he has the tongs, like, just, like, thanks. Like, just, and I just,
yeah.
And I promptly just completely pass out in bed.
Yeah.
And the next morning, wake up completely sober and fully rested. It's like, great day for an adventure. Like, I am just like, I am so glad those demons and monsters I saw in my dreams were not real.
Yeah, no, they
weren't. They are real. They're just not real to you right now in this very moment, but they are very, very much real, sir.
Yeah.
Totally not real. All right, let's get this.
Yeah, there was some dark spirit looking at you through as you looked in the mirror, looking at you through the mirror, kind of making like a mark, kind of like you added a tally mark. Like if you drink it too many times, your soul is damned, or like maybe even one more time, you'll be bound to hell, like something like that.
We're a little far with damn. How about dar?
Yeah.
How about dar?
Yeah.
Okay, keep it PG-13.
Which I'm like, and like, when I see that, like you.
Yeah.
Kind of like the thing in the spirit does it too.
All right.
But then like, of course I go like, by the way, those demons are not real. That's an order. I can do that now.
No one knows what you're talking about.
I'm telling him.
Okay.
Specifically.
Yeah. All right.
Him. Like, I'm not going to give him orders right now. He's too fun.
Cries of the danged.
Yeah. So like, that's the three of you get to the underground the chamber.
I'm carrying both weapons, by the way.
Yeah, it's actually a ways from the castle. You have to drive out for a bit. There's like an freight elevator. Actually, it's a funicular because I think they're fun. It's like fun a Kira. Yeah. Funicular.
See, that word makes Ross happy.
Yeah. It's like Akira. Remember Akira? Yeah. It's like that. It's
that's a recent thing. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah. And you go all the way down. It's just this massive blast door opens up and it's just this bare metal room. And it's basically where they open up portals to dangerous places because if something goes fucky, there's big blast doors. It's underground. It's far away from the main base. You know, it's just like, oh, we don't know what this is. Where they do the risky experiments and portals and shit like that. So, like, yeah, they you could see how they feel about this orchestra, and they're like, yeah, Ragnar's behind a big in a control room behind blast door. You know, viewing through a camera.
It's kind of like when you're at the dentist and you get the little lead bib, and the doctor walks behind concrete.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and they're like, yeah. So all you have to do in the middle of the room, there is a single musical instrument. A cranberry, what is it? By default, it would be a harp, I'm picturing, but like, yeah.
Oh, I love that.
You know, a harp is intriguing, actually. Yeah. We'll go with a harp.
All right. And there's a bit of sheet music. There's a little stand with the sheet music on. All right. All you have to do is play that tune on there, and it'll open up the portal to the orchestra.
I do this.
All right. What's the tune? Is it a bit of classical music? Something.
We're ready to do this, aren't we, gentlemen?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. The sheet music is... Oh, don't do that. The sheet music is...
Send in the
chopsticks. Clowns? It's chopsticks.
Yeah, it's ding, ding, ding. Yeah. Very simple, very deceptively simple, and you can kind of feel a little insulted that the muses would calibrate it to that song. It's like, come on, I have a little more talent than that. But like, yeah,
but we have to assume you don't.
Yeah, let's be safe. And a shimmering portal opens up, and you know, this is not a rift, this is leading somewhere on Earth, but it deep within, it's a weird, yeah, those of you with the cults can kind of see that this is, you're going to a place on Earth, but a place on Earth that is very dimensionally unstable. Something's weird about your destination, but you know, rejoice. You need to walk.
What is anything weird on Earth?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the three of you step through, or do you step through one at a time, or are you going all shoulder to shoulder? It's a big portal.
I'll go first.
Shoulder to shoulder, hands around each other's waist, you know.
All right, yeah.
Oh, that's something. Sure.
Stetson's on your shoulder, and all of you, just there's this flash of white light, sense of like electric tingling, pain, an intense sense of vertigo, like you're falling and end over end and falling and falling and falling until the point of like, oh God, I'm going to hit something. And then you feel gravity like shift 180 degrees. You're falling upward and then you kind of fall onto tile floor.
I immediately vomit.
Yeah. Okay.
3-point hero land.
All right. Yeah. That's going to roll for it, though.
No, it's, I just do.
Roll grenade scatter diagram to see what direction the vomit goes.
By the way, it's also, it's glowing and hissing considering what I've drank.
Okay. Yeah. You didn't fully absorb it. Yeah.
It's so still like, oh, that.
You're going to have stomach ulcers. Yeah.
Wait. And well, if I got those.
It's the everlasting gobstopper of booze.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So you, black and white tile floor, little tables scattered about. There's also an end table, looks like with the sink. Those are, you recognize coffee makers and a refrigerator nearby. It's like you're in a break room and you're kind of looking around. The lights are flickering. They're fluorescent. It's very odd. And then there is a woman looking at all three of you as you're sprawled on the floor. She's looking down. She's wearing a lab coat. She has glasses on and an odd haircut. None of you, but she is sort of watching you, and it takes you a moment to realize she is slightly translucent. Her opacity is turned down just a bit, and she is just watching you.
I'm just going to stand up and walk over to that coffee maker.
Okay.
And just start it.
All right. She looks at you. She says, oh, the coffee is on the shelf to your right.
Above. Oh, thank you, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm 44. You are?
Ah, hello, 44. Are all people named after numbers in the future?
No, that's Steve.
I'm Steve.
Steve. Only Steve?
Like,
are you a mutant or?
No. Family, like, I think my great-great-grandfather came here from another dimension.
An alien from another dimension. You speak English very well.
That was way back when. Like, I'd be like, I've been on Earth my whole life.
Yes, you seem to be adapting to the gravity very well. I assume the gravity is still, if you've been on Earth, the gravity is here. We're still at 9.8 standard 1G of gravity. Anyway, yes.
Well, that sounds like a good thing.
Yes, we don't have many gravity fluctuations here in the section. Hi, hello, my name is Dr. Kennedy Nixon Reagan. And who are you? Do you have a name as well?
Kennedy a first name?
Or? Kennedy is the first name, yes.
Okay. So
Nixon is my middle name, Reagan is my third name. Those were my parents' three favorite presidents in order.
Okay. Just making sure that the proper way to address you is Dr. Nixon Reagan. Gotcha.
I'm just kidding. With those three names, why did I get a sudden chill down my back?
Yes. Is he mute or is he still stuck?
He's a wizard, aren't you?
Yes, I'm a wizard.
A wizard, yes.
Yes. Whither are we?
An albatross. Interesting. You are in a, well, it was called, it was nicknamed the orchestra. The real name is a facility X39A alpha / designation. Yeah, a bunch of code name that means
orchestra.
Nothing.
Yeah. It's easier the orchestra, to think, yes, of it as the orchestra.
I am back when there, is there a still United States?
Like, There's some some very old flags we see sometimes.
The flag is not a country.
Oh. Well,
it's a philosophical statement. Interesting. Well, but there's no United States. There's no polity calling itself the United States.
Nope. There is not.
Okay. Yes, I must. I guess you understand. I am deceased, but I have preserved my state in corporeal status. I suppose a layman would call me a ghost. I prefer to think of myself as displaced energy that has retained its sentience. And you are the first people I've talked to since the nuclear apocalypse destroyed the United States of America. And I must admit, I'm a bit let down by the United States for collapsing and not rebuilding itself.
Well, there were lots and lots of monsters, as I recall.
Oh, like you fair, or worse?
Like, I've never killed anyone that didn't try to kill someone else.
Okay.
Steve is very, very civilized. There's a number of uncivilized mind beasts out there.
Fascinating.
And sometimes demons get in here. Those guys are assholes.
Demons. So the supernatural is real. So.
Oh, very.
I was like, oh, it's everywhere.
Oh. The demons come from an afterlife where they torment lost souls or
sometimes they just come from another dimension.
But then some of them do say they like to do that a lot. Hmm. I mean, they're like bragging, like it's like, yeah.
So there is proof of the afterlife. Interesting. Well, I suppose you're here because you found out about the orchestra and the Symphony of the End, and you probably are interested in that.
We are. What can you tell us?
Yes. Well, like I said, I've been here the entire time waiting for someone to show up. And yes, and I'm glad that you're here. Yes, I want to how is civilization up on the surface?
I mean, I think it's trying to come back.
It's trying to come back. It's not come back yet.
Well, I mean, in some places it's come back in very terrible ways.
Oh, well, that's...
And in some places it's come back in very wonderful ways.
Hmm.
But they haven't made up their minds all over. There are a lot of places that are just bad to be. There are places where you just would rather not.
Oh, yes. Like Cleveland back then. I don't know what Cleveland's like now.
Much the same, actually.
Well, I'll admit I have selfish goals. Well, self-interested goals. My goals are to restart civilization to a point where cloning facilities exist, where I have DNA samples of myself at various locations in the orchestra. I'd like to clone myself. And then I believe I can transplant this energy into a mindless clone of myself. And thus I can be alive again.
Like, oh, actually, from what I've heard, they're doing a lot of cloning out in Lone Star.
Yeah. Is the Lone Star, are you part of Lone Star? Oh, no, you've heard about it. It sounds like it's something. Are they a rival or an ally or?
What's that term that some of those old timers use? Fascist.
Fascist.
That's the one.
Oh, that's a shame. Very unstable.
Yeah. There's also, there's also another word he called them, but for some reason, they won't let us say that.
Okay. So you're the first to show up, so I'll ally with you. I will guide you around this facility to the best of my ability on the promise that you will help me eventually clone myself so I can have a corporeal body.
A second chance.
I would like to taste coffee again. I have to admit.
I'm like, oh my God, who doesn't?
Yes.
Like, thank you.
Yeah.
Actually, no, you pour a cup, give him a cup, and I'll just take the pot.
Yeah. It's Folgers. I was
planning to just kind of pass it through the ghost. It's like, does this help at all?
That's actually slightly rude, I think.
He doesn't know much about dead people.
Way to go. You're pissing off the only ghost we know.
I've known many other ghosts.
Do you?
Well, I was in a very haunted sewer tunnel under a prison camp.
You know what? Fair. So
it was an experience.
Yes, I'll give you a brief overview of the orchestra because this place is extremely stable. And I after reconnoitering, I consider this was the most stable entry point for warping. I assume some of the Muse entities escaped and now have made an alliance with your civilization. What is your civilization called or nation state?
We're called the Tomorrow Legion.
The Tomorrow Legion. Interesting. But, a military organization.
Yeah, I literally just became an officer like yesterday.
They seem to be strapped for personnel.
I don't think so.
No. Okay.
And I like to think they promoted me because I was good.
So there are many muses, and I'm sure you're aware of, and they each have a powerful magical ability.
Yeah, we have several of them.
Yes. That stands to reason you're able to get here. One muse is called Plunderphonics, and Plunderphonics copies exist. Plunderphonics, I don't know if you know much about musical theory, but anyways, you don't need to understand.
We're a band.
Okay. Do you know what Plunderphonics are?
Roll perform? Or common knowledge?
Yeah, no, it's just, do you actually know what the term is? Yeah, well.
I'm actually going to go, no. I have no idea.
Okay. Well, it doesn't matter. What you need to know is that the ability of Plunderphonics is to copy and remix things, to change, to take a copy and to change. But it's not a perfect copy. It's always changed. And so Plunderphonics has stayed here and has done that to the entire facility multiple times over. It keeps copying the facility and expanding it, but every copy is substantially different. I think that Plunderphonics is trying to make a version of this facility that pleases it in some way. I'm not sure how. I've lost track of it. It's gone so large that I can't map it. But I do know there are many resources in here. I also know there's many dangers in here. So if you want to tell me, and there's also, I have sensed other activity. I believe, are there other rival nation states trying to?
Yep.
Okay, well, they're undoubtedly here.
Oh, yes, yeah, so we might have to kill some coalition people.
Coalition.
Oh, darn.
So they're the enemy?
They're the fascists.
Oh, they're the fascists, I see. So Lone Star is part of
the... Yes. Okay. And there's the Federation of Magic. You know, actually, I kind of think they're fascist too, just mystically.
Okay. So there's many resources and there's many dangers. And I can sort of guide you in the direction of any of the resources. But I'm not sure about the dangers because being a ghost, I'm not...
You're ever in danger?
No, so far. I assume there are things that can harm me.
Knock on wood. Oh, sorry.
Yes. Knock on wood. I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, so what kind of... I could just show you around. What are you most interested in? There's, of course, there were other projects going on here. There's not just Infamy, not just the Symphony of the End.
What are the parts of the facility that are seemingly immune to Plunderphonic's machinations? Does it include this room?
This room is stable. This is part of the original facility, but it just keeps adding new sections on and new wings, and some of the things have moved on. So I don't think we'll have to worry about Plunderphonics right now. I think Plunderphonics is very far away. But, like, it's been centuries and no one's in control of this place, so it's become very wild, I guess, kind of like an overgrown forest, but filled with experimental weapons and entities and extra-dimensional intruders.
Sounds like Tuesday.
Yeah,
but it really does. It's gone rogue, like.
I could. So things I could tell you about are guide you to. There is, of course, information on the Symphony of the End. There's also, I do have a computer server that seems to have access to location data on some muses. There's also, I could take you to the areas where I've detected activity from other intruders. So your rival nations, I'm not sure about them.
If there is a way that we could repel them and not to... put too fine a point on it, but this way we can gain control of the facility.
Well, you need many more than three people to gain control of this facility. If you are a legion, if you could bring in a few thousand people, that would probably do it. But it's a substantial... But there's a few other projects you could get, too. Aside from the Symphony Inn, there was an advanced 3D printing portable manufacturer, 3D printer. I'm not sure where the... There's also the prototype urban combat robot, nicknamed Mr. Shotgun.
It's just like a Doberman.
Yeah. And then there was a very experimental project, the Megapando. Megapando is a mutant aspen tree colony organism. So it was using the idea of an aspen tree that cloned itself, but imagine a tree, but with humanoid limbs and intelligence, and it could clone itself and control each clone as though it was a separate limb. So
that sounds dangerous.
Yes, but I mean, we could... So there's a lot of projects going on here. There's also controls to the water mechanism. There's a bit of flooding problem recently. Also radiation, also gravity fluctuations, also the crabs. And yeah. So what are you most interested in?
Well, I mean, finding out some information about the symphony would be...
Yes, I can take you there. Yeah.
The symphony and the muse data would be good.
Yes.
But I feel like we also need to clear out the flooding, the radiation, the gravity, the crabs, so that when we do send more folks from the Legion to establish a better beachhead, foothold, whatnot, that they're not going to be fighting the crabs.
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of them and they're very big, but I'll take you to the Symphony of the End server room first. So yeah, she kind of floats through a door and it is a door that is wedged shut. It is rusted with age.
So. I will force it open.
All right. Give me athletics.
That's a six, but I got a six here. 8.
All right. You're able to rip open the door without it falling on you or part of the ceiling. You realize, yeah. So, yeah, this is, you open up to, you know, a hallway. Again, fluorescent lights, some sparking, let's see here, sparking electrical wiring. And, yeah, this it's a very shady looking corridor. This facility has been through a lot of damage over the centuries. So, and yeah, it kind of like you have to crouch down halfway through the hallway to progress. And the Dr. Reagan.
Is it crouching down for people like human size?
Yeah. So you'll have to like.
Oh, yeah. I'm like 10 feet tall. Like,
yeah. You'll have to very.
To crawl.
Yeah. Belly crawl. Yeah. So how do you want to do this? One at a time for that. Yeah.
But, all right. Someone want to take point that can. Actually see ahead well.
Hold on. I'm going to take a moment. I'm going to pull my simple staff. And once it forms, I'm going to use it to lift the wires so that we don't have sparky wires directly on top of us to give him a little bit more purchase.
Okay.
So that he doesn't have to belly crawl. He can just crawl.
Okay. So you want him to go first then?
Well, I'm going to give him the option.
Okay.
If I can still keep point going, I will.
Okay.
The tough.
Okay, so you start belly crawling
and
through.
And also, like, the leader who leads from the rear takes it in the rear.
Okay, yeah, you're officer traded, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you start crawling through there. It starts going lower. The floor is kind of partially collapsed. And as you do that, you have to push. You go under this partially collapsed ceiling. And there's a rock in your way, some concrete. So you push it out of the way, right? Or what do you do? Like it's.
I guess kind of get my shoulder into it and just.
Start. Well, you can grab it and like pull it aside.
Okay, I'll do that.
So when you do that, the ceiling above you, the wreckage starts trembling a bit. So.
Like, okay, this is unstable.
Uh-huh. And that's when you start hearing like the sound of water.
Oh, there's water above us. Mm-hmm. I think.
It's from the sides, too.
I think we are completely surrounded by water.
I would surmise that you are correct.
So we're going to have to move this out without disturbing structural integrity. Mm-hmm.
Do we have any way that we can patch it up? Like, this stick isn't going to last forever. I can hold up part of the ceiling with the stick, but once I move out of range, the stick goes back to my arm.
Do any of you have any skills you want to try out?
Survival?
This is not survival. This is more of like a repair mechanics.
I got a 1d6 in repair.
Yeah, give me a repair check.
We need you to fix something.
Can I assist?
Yeah, I'll give you a +2 to your roll, Cranberry.
Hey!
That's 2. That's going to be a 10 total.
10, yeah. So you realize that you just need to move fast to a degree. You don't really have unless you have the stick, which is, you know, indestructible, but like it's a stick and it disappears after it leaves your side, right? Like
it disappears after a certain amount of time.
Yeah. So you can't, and it's a stick, right? It can't hold up that much. So what are the resources? What do you have to help? Do you have anyone have telekinesis or any other kind of spells or abilities that would help? Yeah. So, you know,
okay. I can hold it up while you weld it.
Well, do you have anything to weld?
No.
Yeah.
Do you have a tool kit? Because I know I've got one.
No.
No tool kit. Yeah. So, do you have any spells that call? Yeah. So, yeah.
What kind of magic do you have? Do you have a way that you can?
I have aquatic adaptations. I can turn myself into an aquatic animal. I can drone shrink. Have a blast. I can disguise myself.
So, with aquatic, that you realize you can let the other two go first, and you can just breathe under water. So, yeah. So that will help. So let's see here. The main question is to make sure that the entire ceiling doesn't collapse, trapping him, cutting him off. So Cranberry has to go last. So you get out of the way, Steve, and then give me athletics to see how quickly you get through and agilely. 44.
That is 11. So fairly agilely.
All right. Yeah. With that, Cranberry, did you write down how much aquatic adaptation costs?
I did not.
Okay. I think it's just adaptation, right? I think it's 3, if I were to take a guess. I have it down here. Is it called adaptation, or is it environmental adaptation? I think it's environmental.
Well, I wrote down aquatic adaptation. I could have sworn that was like an actual...
No, it is. I think, it's 2. 2 PPE. So just, yeah. Keep track of how much PPE you've lost or spent. All right, so you're able to get through the hallway, and you come to the corridor or to another, you know, Dr. Reagan shows you the way, shows you to the server room where the data files for Symphony of the End are kept. It's a big blast door, sealing it shut. What do you want to do?
Let's see here. Blast it apart. I have a blast spell. Kazam.
All right.
That blast costs... First, make a spell casting check to make sure it goes off. Let's see here. It costs 3 PPE to cast.
I have a 7.
All right. That succeeds. I'll go ahead and roll damage. It is
a 3... Let's see here. 3d6.
That's going to be 4 plus 2 is 7.
7? Okay. It does not break it. You needed more damage.
Rats.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Stetson, fly into this as hard as you possibly can.
Hey, I don't think that...
Over and over. I'm going to film it and put it on YouTube.
What's YouTube?
No, it's a Phase World thing.
RipTube. I don't give a...
Oh, yeah, it's RipTube. Yeah. They love RipTube.
You'll love to hear it.
Yeah. What do you want to do?
Well, we could try to force the door open. If we're strong enough, if Steve pulls on one side, I pull on the other.
All right, both of you give me strength checks.
Yay!
I'm going to... Well, first I'm going to touch that spot on my leg.
He rolled a natural 12.
Okay.
So that's a 15.
Okay.
So I'm increasing my strength die by 3 levels.
Okay. What's it at right now?
Right now it is at a D8.
A D10, D12, D12 plus
1. Wait. What was it when you go beyond 12?
Just plus 1.
Okay, so make that 16.
Okay. So your strength is now also D12 plus 1. So roll D6 and D12.
So I've got a 6 on there. Mm-hmm. That's a 4. So that's going to be 11.
All right. Yeah, with the two of you, you're able to pull open the blast door. You can tell that the door is going to slam shut the instant you let go. So are you going to use the stick to hold it open again?
Yeah.
All right. Spend the PPE for that too.
That's going
to
be 1.
But yeah. I like to think that it's like that scene from Predator when they're pulling the tree down. It's just with us. Just
okay. Yeah. Yeah.
It's very impressive.
It's very impressive. Yeah. So the three of you are in a big computer server room from before the rift. It is caked in dust. There's some cables dangling from the ceiling. This room is on only getting emergency lighting, just red lighting. The ghost of Dr. Reagan is there. She is pointing as well. It's, are any of you, as she starts listing computer terms that none of you have heard before?
She's speaking like this, like, ow. What is happening?
Yeah.
Is this an invocation?
Yeah. OS2 assembly, like, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it's just nonsense as far as you can see. None of you have computer. Any of that shit's it's basically gibberish. So she kind of looks at you for a moment, is like, none of you understood the word I said, right?
Like, not a word.
Okay. Computer, machine, think.
We don't know the terminology. We're not slow.
You have computers up on the surface.
Yes.
We have computers, just not these computers.
Well, the ones we tell them what to do and they do it.
Interesting. Well, in that case, the hard drive containing all the data is in that computer. Now, if you could get power, this server won't turn. Well, if you push this button, you could see if the computer turns on. You push the button, nothing happens. It's like, well, this computer isn't getting power. Now, I could tell you how to unscrew and extract the hard drive to take back to your facility, and you could decrypt it there. If you can write down my instructions, I could tell them how to decrypt it. And she gives you some precise, and who's going to write down her instructions?
It's me. I have an academics die of 1d8.
All right, make an academics check to see if you can write down her instructions.
You are a scribe now.
That was a 4, dude.
4 succeeds. Basic competence,
Goodness.
Yeah, you can write down what someone said.
Hey, mother, it was absolutely worth it sending me to that Phoenix University.
So,
taught by an actual Phoenix, I'm assuming?
Oh, yeah. Certainly, yes.
So she... says, yeah. So, yeah, there you have the information on there. This hard drive will have all the information on it. It is quite a lot. I was only partially invested in that. I work between multiple projects. That's why I knew about so many. So, but yes, where do you want to go now? What are you looking for next? There are the research projects I mentioned. I could tell you where one of the activity spikes are. You know, one of your rivals. I could tell you where the tracking data is. Or
let's go to an activity spike. Because spike sounds awesome.
Okay.
Is that like when...
That would be
that could be a potential fight.
Oh,
that would be, yeah.
being a wiener about this?
Oh, I could tell you where the security, there are two separate security centers that would give you access to the surveillance equipment. Ooh, in those areas.
Let's do that.
Okay. So, all right. So the, she takes you down some more corridors. Again, these are just the hallways and like open areas. It's all concrete and metal. And you get the sense that this place is absolutely massive. So you have some time to talk to Dr. Reagan. It's about a half hour walk to the next area. So yeah, if you want to talk or you just want to stay focused on the job.
More like just like, so what was the world like before?
What did you like to do for fun?
I like to, well, I was digging a hole under my house, but the county stopped me.
Like, they could stop you from digging a hole under your house?
Yeah, it's because I went over the property line into my neighbor's. I was just building a tunnel network.
Property line.
Yes.
But diggy hole? Diggy hole?
Yes. They stopped me. Because I got under the water line.
Like, did you fight them?
There was a court case ongoing, a civil lawsuit, but it wasn't, my lawyer was not optimistic about the odds.
So what I'm hearing is you fought the law and the law won?
Well, the law won, but I was appealing, so.
Well, you are, I'm not into humans, but you seem appealing.
Oh, thank you, I suppose. Yeah, well, no, it's a legal term. Anyway, so you're all talking. Everyone give me a notice trick.
So that's an 8.
No, I am.
I'm 15.
I'm very fascinated by what she's saying, but also confused.
Okay. There is a, you can hear the, with a 15, did you make at least?
I got an 8.
You got an 8, all right. So you both hear this, and with your aquatic senses, you've heard this sound before, so you know about it. And you're so accurate at hearing. That's the clacking of giant crab claws coming from around
the. Hear the sound of castanets.
Yeah, it's basically that, but it's coming around the corner it sounds like in a much larger area. So, yeah, what do you want to do?
Well, I mean, I suppose these noises are directly in our way, so we have to deal
noises.
With them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, crab is delicious.
Okay.
Giant crab.
So you could peek around the corner?
I'm definitely going to peek around.
Okay, you peek around the corner, you look down, you see down the hallway, it opens up into a massive, massive chamber that is brightly lit. Actually, this place is still getting power, a lot of it, but it is the floor is flooded. It's some sort of massive, like, vertical shaft that is partially flooded. And the water is coming up. You don't know how deep it is, but, like, there's ladders and stairs leading up. It's so it's sort of like a, what is it? Not an elevator shaft, but like for ladders, stairwell, a massive stairwell, and also like freight area. And they're part of the stairs, part of the ladders are sort of fucked up. And like at the bottom of it, there's a giant fucking crab, like a crab the size of a tank, a battle tank. Yeah.
Delicious.
And it's kind of clacking around and grabbing and like scraping algae off the walls of this chamber and kind of like looking, filtering the mud out at the bottom of it. So yeah, massive stairwell that's been turned into a flooded chamber and the crab's layered here.
Do you think
there's also a massive tunnel leading further into darkness so the crab can leave this thing. It's not trapped here. But like she tells you, we have to go across very near the crab. So, and these crabs, I don't know how crabs are usually. Well, I don't know what giant crabs, if how territorial they are, but yes.
Can I roll survival to see if I know anything about these crabs?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Like, because if there's a chance to befriend it, I'm going to have to do it.
Befriend giant enemy crab.
Ooh, 6. 9.
Okay, this is not just a giant mutant crab. This is a one that has been... You notice it is emitting electrical energy. So you're guessing this is either enhanced in some way, perhaps an escaped experiment, something from a rift, or an alien that just looks like a crab. It's kind of hard to tell. So, yeah.
Okay. I don't know if it's not a normal crab. I mainly only know about normal crabs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they taste delicious, but I don't know if maybe, like, do you think we could, like, maybe not negotiate with it? I mean, that would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe we could placate it somehow?
If you had some kind of supernatural, well, I don't know. Yeah, how do you want to try that?
Well, wait, we do have an aquatic wizard with us.
Yeah, but Cranberry is lost in thought right now. The party is now staring at a giant crab blocking their path forward in the stairwell.
Like, you think you could, I mean, you know water creatures. Do you think you could negotiate with it?
Yes. using my divine but also hard-learned aquatic prowess, I will communication with this titan of the sea.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's electrified, by the way.
What, the crab?
Yeah. Pretty sure it's electrified.
Yeah, you see little blue lightning bolts spark across its shell.
No matter. The human word can still reach this crustacean.
Are you just talking to the crab? All right.
Yeah.
All right. Give me a persuade check.
Persuade. Okay. Okay, there it is. 1d6.
There you go.
6 plus 3 is 9, plus 1 more is 10 total.
10 total?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's your approach?
Hello!
Yeah, so essentially this thing is in our way.
Yeah, it's a giant battle tank sized crab. Okay. It is in this massive stairwell, and basically the Reagan points out that the place you have to go to is through one of the lower levels, which is now like a flooded out massive tunnel behind the crab. So you have to go right past it. Okay. Now it's a big open area. So like think the diameter of this stairwell is like 300 feet across. It's absolutely massive. And the tunnel behind it's like, you know, 50 feet wide. It's a pretty big tunnel behind it.
Big enough for vehicles to drive.
Big enough for the crab to get through. And so you have to go through this long tunnel that used to be, you know, in order to get to the area with the security center where you could spy on one of the other rivals. Yeah.
All right. I explain our predicament to the crab and ask him to please allow a safe passage through this tunnel and a return trip.
Okay. The crab. So you stand on the stairs facing the crab.
Guarding the little crab.
It's like these are like metal stairs, think like a catwalk kind of thing. They're like grates so you can see right down. And the crab, it would kind of like sifting through the mud or sifting through the water, eating crab, you know, giant crab.
Doing crab things.
Doing crab things. And it turns and rotates and looks at you and kind of pitches its claws, and it kind of raises itself up. And so with a 10, it does not immediately attack. I'll say that. But you recognize this crab is of animal intelligence. It is not a sapient crab. And two, it is clearly defensive. It is not attacking you because you're far away from it right now. It is clearly defending an area. You can give me, Cranberry, a notice check. Or survival, whatever's better.
Oh, look on its back. See if there's a giant hook carved with all sorts of Maori symbols.
Oh, shit.
13 plus 3 is 16.
16, okay. Was that survival or
no? Yes, survival.
Survival, okay. Actually, it's behavior. You recognize this in normal-sized crabs, and you notice a large, like, under the water, some muddy, like, oval-shaped thing sticking out, or, like, you can see their silhouette under the water because this place is well-lit enough. You realize this is a crab that has laid eggs and is protecting its nest. And so it's going to be extremely territorial of anyone going through that tunnel. So you either have to scare it off, kill it, or sneak around it. Like, or teleport. Like, the crab will not let you through. Unless the only thing that could get the crab away from the tunnel would be a massive amount of food on the other side of the stairwell of this pit. And like by that, I mean like cow sized or better amount of meat, like not even a human corpse would lure it away. Like you would need several human sized corpses or like, you know, 1,000 pounds of meat, like a cow.
All right. Fine. Yeah. If I destroyed its eggs, would it no longer have any reason to be here?
It would
probably be enraged.
It would be enraged for sure. But if it didn't know what destroyed the eggs, it would leave. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know, like,
it's an animal. It's not going to be sentimental, right? Like,
yeah.
But I was like, I'm thinking I will be, though.
Well,
I was about to ask you, old big gunny. I got a laser pistol too. We just sit here and pot shot the eggs, and it goes.
Well, it's going to know. Well, that's the thing. Like, you could probably trace. It could tell where the sound and light is coming from.
You let us know about all this, right?
Yeah.
Like, is the doctor still with us?
Yeah, of course.
Like. Well, you know this place.
Uh-huh.
Is there any place we could get, like, a supply quantity of meat that would placate this thing? Because I hate killing baby animals.
The only amount of biomass I know about is Megapando. But Megapando, even though it was grown from, or originally it was came from aspen trees, but they spliced in, you know, animal. It's a hybrid of plant and animal, and it clones itself. So it might, if you were to recruit or command it, you might be able to have it send a clone in as a distraction.
Okay, so no killing babies, but how do you feel about killing the mother?
Or maybe we can.
You were saying that does look like a lot of tasty crab meat.
Like, I know, but then I saw it had kids, and suddenly I get very sentimental.
I mean, they're crabs. They're pretty self-sufficient at birth. The mother abandons the babies as soon as they're born. They protect the eggs, but that's it. They don't raise them.
If we could also get this tree thing on our side.
Yeah, the Megapando is a different direction. So.
You know, like, that might be something. I mean, then again, I also struggle to think that this could be getting that thing loose. Sounds like it could be bad if it can create infinite clones of itself and control them.
Actually, as an officer, you would know that this would be like a strategic asset that the Tomorrow Legion could use to better protect itself against the predations of the Coalition and the Federation. So, like, any of those projects could be like a game changer. Like, those would be good. Yeah, yeah.
So with your special abilities, 44, would you be able to extract an extremely sharp blade of considerable size?
Considerable size? No.
Can this blade cut through anything?
More or less.
Okay, let's just sever this thing's nerve center. Like, you see cooking shows, they just cut the crab's head off, right? Done. All right?
Your survival check, you know, like, there's a spot at the top center of the shell that if you can pierce it, it would kill it. Yeah, a brain shot, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah, unless we're just against killing this thing.
Like, well, if we can also, but, yeah, that tree thing, that could be a huge asset to the Tomorrow Legion, too. And if we could use it to also get rid of this thing... It's kind of two birds with one stone there.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, but we could just dive bomb the crab, get a good shot in, and then we could access the security center, which would make it easier for us to get a hold of Megapando later.
No. Megapando's in a different... There are multiple security centers. The one I'm taking to you is one that would surveil one of the activity spikes, one of your rivals. It wouldn't help you with Megapando.
Now, Megapando's in another castle.
Yeah, it is.
Look, if you think you can hit that spot...
Well, considering it's the size of a battle tank, I'm assuming that the spot we're talking about isn't like a...
Let me ask you this. What's the mega... How much damage would your knife do, and how much armor piercing does it have?
Scimitar, not
okay.
Knife.
Okay.
Doctor.
Okay.
That is...
Yeah.
But as far as mega damage, it does 2d8 plus my strength.
Okay.
Which can be considerable, as we have demonstrated. Mm-hmm. And it has an armor piercing of 8.
Okay.
So pretty... decent as far as
Megapando. I would say it's not guaranteed, but you would have a shot. Yeah. So.
Well, our safety is paramount because there's no mission if we dead.
That's true.
So
if I don't get it on the first, or if I don't get it on the first stab, I could stab it again.
Well, if you don't get it on the first stab, it's going to do something. And it has more than just its crab claws. You know, it emits electricity. You don't know how, but like, it's going to get a chance to react.
All right. Let's go get the tree.
Okay.
All right.
So she takes you back and goes again, winding through this maze, this labyrinth.
Boiled the water.
Yeah, you could have done that too. Yeah. That would have killed the eggs.
I don't think I had the magic to do it.
You would need, I mean, it's a fucking, it's a 300 foot diameter pit filled with water. Like, yeah. Probably at least 10 feet deep. That's a lot of fucking water, like tens of thousands of gallons. So, like, you would need something pretty, a sizable heat source to do that.
We'll just go get a box of matches at the Five and Dime. That'll work.
Yeah. So,
get these novelty ones.
I mean, this place does have power. If you get a power main, right, like, and feed the cable, and that would electrify it.
But anyway, we got to go get this tree.
You can't get lost in planning forever. All right. So she takes
you. If we do come across a rather large battery and jumper cables.
Yeah.
We could redneck fish this thing.
So you continue on and you are, you know, you're now a little more cautious about it, realizing there's a lot of fucking threats in this area. So all of you give me nose checks.
Eight.
Four.
I've got a six.
Okay.
I have 7.
All right. Well, they're not trying to be particularly silent. You can hear voices up ahead, and you know the voices are. You can tell they're in power armor, like regular, or at least environmentally sealed body armor. So they're talking through little radio, like little basically speakers in their thing, because they're basically like Rift's body armor is basically like armored spacesuits, right? Like so they're environmentally sealed. So
they're skeleton like.
You also, because of the tone of their voice, the way it's filtered, those are people in coalition armor up ahead, and they're talking about something. You can't quite make it out, but they are in a normal.
I like torturing non-humans, don't you? That's amazing.
It sounds like a discussion with at least 3 people, like very like, how do we solve, kind of like how you were all talking about the crab recently. They're talking about something else. Now you're far away enough that you can't make it out, but there's no way you weren't talking. So there's no chance they could have heard you, and you don't have to make a stealth check. So you all stop when you hear this. And Dr. Reagan is kind of whispers to, you can whisper to each other about being nervous. Like, I think it's this one of your rivals. They must have sent a team and they're exploring out as well.
They are.
I could go out and see what they're doing. I mean, I'm only partially visible.
Yeah, I mean, and also, I see, what are they going to do? Shoot a ghost?
I mean, I don't know what kind of weapons you have. I assume they won't hurt me, but yes. All right, I'll be right back. So she flies out and she comes back. All right, so there's 3 men, or I assume men. But 3 figures in a black body armor with a skull motif, and they are discussing at length about the irradiated hallway up ahead. So it seems that, you know, the orchestra was powered by 5 fusion reactors, and of course, because of Plunder Products, there's now many copies of fusion reactors throughout here, and so obviously one of them was compromised and flooded the area with radiation, and that's the area to get to Mega Pando. So I don't know what your abilities are, so I don't know if radiation's a problem for you.
I mean, my armor is environmentally sealed, but
well, I mean, so is theirs, but they're not. It's radioactive enough that they're not willing. It's mm-hmm. It's a matter of degree, right? Like, you have some radiation shielding, but not.
I know. I'm just saying, it's not going to be instantaneous, but at the same time,
you would like, yeah, you don't know, you don't know what their Geiger counter readings are saying. So
I utilize my environmental protection to save me from radiation.
You
and
should
also afford this to my allies.
Yeah. You're a wizard. You can literally do that.
Okay.
But now there's three coalition guys in your way. So, yeah.
So let's see. You can deal with the radiation, and Steve and I can deal with the coalition.
Like, can you sneak at all?
Somewhat.
I mean, we could try to sneak up on them. I mean, if that doesn't work, then we could just shoot at them a lot.
Yes. Yeah, so apparently, well, I mean, if you open fire on them, they would be trapped there because the only way. They're in a tunnel or in a corridor, and the way forward is radiated, so they wouldn't be able to escape you. So, yeah, you
would. But then they would also fight to the death.
Yeah.
Well, so what do you think? Try to sneak around or just...
Well, you can't sneak around. That's the only way forward to make a pain.
What I mean is, like, to sneak up on them.
Oh, yes.
And sneak attack.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we could try.
I'm down for that.
Okay.
All right. And if we get seen, we agree, we just start shooting.
All right. So tell me, are you all 3 sneaking up, or is it like...
Can you sneak at all? Your stealth?
I have a D6.
All right.
We are capable of sneaking.
You are capable of sneaking. Mm-hmm. All right.
We'll try to sneak up on them.
Okay. Yeah. Each of you give me a sneak check.
Oh, man.
Spend a Benny.
6. So I've got a 17.
I have an 11.
Okay. What'd you get?
I got a
3. Okay. All right. Are you going to spend a Benny to reroll?
That's 2 so far.
Okay.
It's not getting better, man.
Okay. Yeah, they got a 9. So one of them had an exploding 6. So I rolled for all 3 of them. So yeah, 2 of you are very stealthy. But Cranberry, you step on.
I have an albatross.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Albatross. Literally.
He's practice rapping on
himself. Yeah. Hey, my name is Stetson, and I'm here to say. So Albatross just starts calking. I'll give you that Benny back. Take that Benny back. Yeah, okay. Stetson. Yeah, yeah. The Albatross.
Benny.
Yeah. Benny. Benny. Yeah.
That's a band name.
It's these 3 keyed up coalition commandos spin around. They all have weapons, and yeah, it's combat. So we will just go with 1 PC and then 1 NPC. So who wants to take the first action?
I'll shoot.
Okay.
With my new toy.
Ooh, nice.
That is a 19.
Okay. I mean, that definitely hits. You get a raise. You get a plus D6 damage. I'm going to say there's no modifiers for shooting. You're just down a hallway. It's kind of dimly lit, but there's some lighting. Yeah.
Do damage rolls explode, too?
Damage rolls do explode. Yeah. So what is the damage roll on your...
3D12 plus 3.
Okay.
I spent what's, 90...
What's the AP on it?
No AP.
No AP? Oh, okay.
So there's that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the old one right there. 5. 14.
What's the D6 for?
No. Oh, that's sorry. It's yeah, that's 14.
Right. 14. Unfortunately, that does not penetrate their armor.
Son of a bitch.
It slides off of them, or like it glances.
Yeah, I rolled terribly for damage.
You did roll terribly, yeah. So he returns fire, and he has a shooting of a D10.
Just like me.
Just needs a 4 to hit you. So, and he gets a 4, so he hits you.
Yay, good for him.
And he has the C14 fire breather. And what is your toughness
model?
Total, okay. And your armor is...
It's plus 3.
Okay. So your armor's negated. He has AP 3 on it. So he will just roll 46. 2, 1... Oh, 6. So 3 plus 6, 9, 9 plus 3, 12, 12 plus 5, 17. So that hits you. So you take a wound.
Okay.
And you're stunned. Being wounded also means you're stunned, which means you'll lose your next action as you get hit by the C-14 energy assault laser rifle, and it burns into you, sending you. Yeah, it fucking sucks. You can spend a Benny to soak. Attempt to soak it.
I will do that.
All right. Now, soaking is... spend a Benny to soak the damage. Make a vigor roll. Each success reduces the wounds taken.
Make a bigger roll?
Vigor.
Vigor. Sorry, I said bigger.
Get a larger die.
Yeah, I think we simply roll a bigger
die. Novelty stat. Yeah.
9.
All right, so you actually don't take any damage. You manage to heroically soak the damage, but you had to spend a Benny to do that, so you can't do that forever. So, yeah.
Benny.
All right, very good. Let's see here. Next up, which player character wants to go next?
Well, since you're shooting, why don't you go next? Because I have to go melee.
Yeah.
All right. I shoot them with my blue-green laser pistol.
Okay. Do a shooting check. You need a 4.
I have exactly a 4.
All right.
3d6 damage.
3d6 damage. Do you have any AP on that?
AP.
Armor piercing.
Oh. Gee.
Let me look it up. So it's in the... It's a rift gun because that's the one... Blue-green means it works underwater. So... armor. Let's see. What are the weapons?
What are weapons?
What are weapons? Gear, adventuring gear. Page 45.
You use them to do damage.
Money can be exchanged for goods and services. Let's see here. Maybe
Khajiit has wares if you have coins.
What are you buying?
What are you selling?
There we go. Naval body armor. Bio armor.
I'm glad we're so mature.
I come in with the Monty Python references.
Let's see here.
Well, that's okay. We all do. We all have so many of the old references.
Here it is. Blue green, 3d6, AP2. All right. So you need to get a 14 or better.
Okay. So let's see here. 9 damage so far.
Did you get any sixes?
Yes.
Or will you get to the sixes explode?
Okay. So that's, let's see. So the 6 plus 3 is 2, 8 plus 3 is 11. Is it 12?
12 will not penetrate their armor. You need a 14.
That's a non-trivial number to hit with 3d6.
Yep. Armor piercing helps a lot. Yeah. So they are wearing heavy body armor. So, yeah. And he's going to return fire on you. So
what an asshole.
Yeah. And he is... going to actually throw a grenade.
You wouldn't hit a man with glasses.
Yeah.
An albatross. Wearing what one could charitably call a dress.
And he hits you. So he's going to throw the grenade. And it's going to hit all of you. So all of you are in the because it's an area effect weapon, weirdly enough. So it's a hallway. You don't really have a lot of space to hide. So let's see here. 3, 6, 11. That's 3, 12. And 14. So 14 with AP. No AP, just 14. So what is your adjusted toughness? Or normal toughness?
What
is
your toughness? 5.
5. All right. So you're definitely wounded. In fact, you'll take 2 wounds. And unless you make a soak roll, which spins a Benny, as I mentioned. What about you? What's your toughness?
19.
Okay. So you're hit by it, but it's not enough to wound you. They'll need more AP. What's yours again, Tom?
12.
12. So you're wounded again. By the grenade.
Okay.
So
wounded for the first time because he soaked the first
time. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. So you're wounded for the first time unless you want to make another, spend another Benny to soak that damage. So, Chris, you probably want to.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I will.
So roll vigor.
What do I have to get?
A 4. And if you get an 8, he needs to get it. What'd you get?
A 1.
Okay. You take 2 wounds.
Rolled a 10.
Okay. You don't take any.
Yeah.
All right. So you're stunned. You've taken 2 wounds. 1 more wound and you're out of this fight. So, and that's the second guy. So, yeah, you're next.
I'm going to slice up one of the guys.
Okay.
Will a 6 hit?
A 6 since you're... Their parry is 7, actually.
All righty.
He ducks.
Oh, wait. That's an 8. I forgot about my +2.
+2 what?
+2 because of my trait, Gladiator.
Oh, okay.
Which gives me a +2 to athletics and to fighting. So that actually is an 8.
All right. 6. All right, yeah. If you have the edge, yeah, go for it. All right. Roll. What are you using?
I am using my bloody magic scimitar.
Okay.
So
that's the one you just mentioned, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So bloody what's the AP on that?
The AP is 8.
8. Okay. Well, only 7 of that will go through because he has toughness, not that's just armor. Close to 7. But yeah, you'll need a 9.
Okay. So I need to roll 3d8.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, Wallace, what is it? Like, the rate of fire is 3.
Oh, then you can make multiple attacks in the same round.
I'll do that.
Okay. Well,
I didn't know the last time.
Okay. But there will be a penalty. Is there? Let's see here. There is probably a recoil on that. I think there's a -2 for each shot beyond the first. Yeah. Sorry.
So I rolled a 5, a 5, and a 7. So that is going to be
17.
17.
All right. 17. That will give him 1 wound. Yeah. You beat him. No, you give him 2 wounds because of 4 above. Yeah. Yeah. You know, so he has a toughness of 9 plus 4. What's 4? No, yeah, you would, actually, that's 3 wounds because that's the way worse is on multiples of 4. So, mm-hmm. Like, he got 2 wounds because it was like 8 above his toughness. You got like enough above his toughness that you just take him out. So, you just, yeah, you can narrate how you cut him up.
I'll just run down the hall, pulling the sword off of my leg as I go and just slicing as I pass.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. So
he's going to fold in half and fall down.
Yeah. Very good. All right. New round. So you're using recoil, which is a fun thing to check out because in combat, basically it gives you a penalty to all your shots. So we'll just say you just shot once. So you didn't have to worry about that. And then, but if you want to, now it's your turn again, Steve. So let's look into this recoil business. Rate of fire. Oh, no, it's rate of fire, right? So let's see here. One card, bullets fired, rate of fire than 1. Recoil, firing more than 1 shot. It subtracts 2 from the attacker's shooting roll. So, yeah. So how? Or if you want to shoot all 3 shots, it will be, you'll make 3 shots, but it'll be -4.
On all of them? Yeah, I mean, we haven't done this before, so let's do this.
All right. Yeah, unless you had... Yeah, there are ways to negate that. Well, some weapons, like laser weapons, don't have it, but, like, actually, I'll look in the Rift's book to see if it has any recoil penalty. Laser weapons do noticeably do not, but, like, that's laser, and you're using a pulse ejector.
Yeah, it's a pulse ejector.
Do you know if it's a heavy weapon?
It is. I believe it is a heavy weapon. A
heavy weapon, okay. Infantry. Is it an energy weapon?
Yeah.
Okay. What company makes it?
NG,
okay.
Northern Gun.
Infantry.
It's a gun in the north.
NG pulse ejector. There's a laser rifle. There's a juicer rifle.
It fires juicers? Well, that would be vicious.
Wait, is it the plasma ejector?
The NG E15 pulse ejector.
Okay, yeah, there it is. All right, rate of fire 3. Shots 48. Minimum strength. Weight, yes. Snap fire, heavy pulse. All right, what's snap fire, heavy pulse? It burns on a raise. Targets catch fire. So this is technically a plasma weapon. So if you get an 8 or above, they catch on fire and they are distracted and they deal mega damage, obviously. And I don't know what the snap fire and heavy pulse does because they don't.
We are learning rules.
I like we're 10 sessions in this campaign. We're like, what does rate of fire mean?
Well, we've never done it.
Yeah.
This is the first time that you've had multiple shots in a round.
Yeah. I actually looked at the weapons. They're all like one rate of fire ones. I can't just return the same thing to you.
It's so easy of ass amnesia. Yeah. What is role playing?
What's the deal with rate of fire? Well, I'm not. I'm just going to ignore Snapfire and Heavy. I'll look those up later because I don't want to fucking deal with it. Anyways, you get 3 shots, -4 to each one. You need a 4 or better to hit. Are you also? There's 2 guys left. 1 and 2.
Focusing on one.
All 3 on one guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. That's a -.
Okay.
-2. That's a hit.
Okay.
Bell. 17.
17 before the -4?
After the -4?
Before
the -4. So that's 13.
13. So 13. So that's still, you catch him on fire. So, okay. Yeah.
And shot 3.
Okay.
And that, yes, I hit that one just with the 4, though.
Okay. All right. So you roll 2 separate damage rolls.
Okay. Let's see if I can do this better.
So, yeah, you need to beat a 16.
7, 13. Hey, there we go. 13, 21.
21. All right.
Plus 3. So 24.
All right.
Thanks.
Yeah,
that's the first one.
Okay,
and second one.
I mean, this is overkill at this point.
19 plus 3, 22.
All right, yeah, he is doubly dead. Like you have
thanks, man.
Utterly vaporized him. There's
his helmet's left.
His helmet is slag. Like there's not much. No.
It's kind of a melted.
Vader and it's fucking like Rises. It's a burnt husk of a thing, smoking hot right.
And afterwards, like,
yeah. Oh, what I said her. Yeah, I forgot to set her the ink.
Listeners at home, Tom mimed looking at the gun, like, what? And
I was like, oh, that's how that's what this thing does. It's like, damn.
Yeah, no, it's fucking really good.
Excellent work, Cowboy. Yeah, reduced into his base components.
Yeah, it should be, because I think I saved up for 7 games. No, I've been saving up for this since the start of the game.
Yeah, no, you got a really fucking good thing. So the last guy is actually going to try and get... What's your parry value? 44.
My parry value is a 5.
Okay. He is going to try and stab you with a vibro knife because it has a lot of armor piercing.
Plasma is
so
beautiful.
Yeah. What was your toughness again?
My toughness is 19.
19. Okay. Yeah. He does hit you. No, he does not.
He doesn't get over my parry value, does he?
Does he have anything to help you? He does not. Fuck it. I'll spend a Benny. Now he hits you. So I spend one of my Bennies. GM gets Bennies too.
Yeah, you know, Ross, you keep saying it over and over.
Yeah, a stinker. So
this freaking guy.
Let's see here. Ooh, exploding. Let's see here. That will be a 13, which will be enough to wound you because he has an AP 6.
Okay.
So
that would be right at 1, wouldn't it?
1 wound.
So if I were to spend one of my bennies, Ross, and soak.
You'd have to make a vigor check. So, yeah, go make a bigger roll.
Okay, so what do I roll to soak? Vigor?
Yep, just vigor. You do get your wild D6 die, but yeah.
Well, it does explode, too.
I guess that's fine, yeah. I mean, you soaked it. Yeah, you can't more. Yeah, you don't, like, heal up. Yeah, so he sinks the blade in, or tries to sink the blade in, but it is, yeah, just glances off your steely abs, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, the magic of the tattoos just tenses somehow, like they're part of your body, and like the what would have been a killing blow or a blow that would have gone in one of your, you know, in the chest and hit your kidneys or something, just glances off instead.
I liked this shirt.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can go next if you want to finish him off. And if you don't, then Cranberry's still around.
Okay, put it in the bed for me.
Holy shit. Let's see. 2 8s and a 7 on my attack roll, plus 2.
Okay.
So that's
25.
25?
Yeah. He's dead. He's very dead.
Oh,
yeah. Dead.
Well, that was just on the attack.
Yeah. Oh, no. Okay. Roll damage.
You want me to roll damage?
No, roll damage. Yeah. The thing about attack rolls is it gives you an extra D6 of damage, but like super high attack rolls don't, aside, they negate modifiers and shit like that, but they don't.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even add that D6. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
So will 15 damage be good?
No. Well, you have armor piercing, right?
Yes.
Okay. Armor piercing 8. You won't kill him, though. You will wound him. So he'll still be up, actually.
But would I also add in that D6? Because I...
Oh, yeah. Go and roll it. Yeah.
That might make all the difference. 2.
Okay. So what's your total damage roll?
Let's see. That was 15. That'll make it 17.
17. And what's your AP?
8.
8. Okay. So 6, 17. You know, no, he's still up. He has 1 wound left. So
I'm so glad you didn't go, so suck it, man. He's not dead.
So Cranberry, you're heavily wounded. It turns out being exploded sucks. And but you're still up. You're still conscious. There's still a guy there.
I'm going to shrink myself then hide.
Okay. Yeah. Make a spellcasting check. You have a negative two now because you're wounded twice.
Plus two is going to be seven. That's going to be 12.
12, yeah. You managed to shrink down. Well, do you know how small you get? Or
well, I find what is a suitable piece of debris, inconspicuous, shrink myself and hide behind it, and wait for the all clear for my comrades.
All right. Well, my question is, are you like action figure size? Are you like little ants?
More than that, I if you shoot at me, it there's an 80% chance it won't hit me because I'm just that tiny.
Okay, nice.
Not action figure. Old G.I. Joe.
Okay, yeah, a little bigger. All right. Still very small. Yeah,
so you're like a Ken doll.
So unless this one coalition commando somehow improbably defeats the other two, you're fine. Like, yeah, he'll focus on these two.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to mess with me, being a little old man.
No, you won't even see you. Reagan is very, like, Reagan floats down and, like, watches. Like, what the? How did you do that? That's fascinating.
It's my mother's taught me this one, actually. I kept getting the snot beat out of me at school, and they told me the best thing to do was to just not be big enough to be hit. Oh. One time I shrunk myself down and put myself on my bully's desk, and he attempted to pummel the wood. Each time I slipped between his knuckles and I cackled at him, I magnified my voice using yet another spell my mother's taught me to to mock the dead. Works on the living as well. Anyways, yeah, I'm a coward, but that's how I got here.
Give yourself a Benny. That's a great unprompted bit of, yeah.
I love the spell Mock the Dead.
Yeah,
like that. I want to know more about it.
I do too, honestly.
I would like to subscribe to your newsletter.
Cast it on the dead guys once someone threw, like, you threw a grenade at me. Fuck you. Yeah. All right. So new round. Steve, 44, is in locked in mortal combat with this guy, remaining soldier. You know, magic scimitar versus vibro knife fight. Classic. So you can shoot, but that would be a negative four to your roll.
I am not going to risk my friend that way.
Okay. So what are you going to do? He's going to watch.
No, come up behind him. Back of his head.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I can fight just as well as I can shoot.
All right. Yeah. Give me fighting.
Five.
Nope. Yeah, no, he's able to dodge out of the way. He has a parry value of seven.
What an asshole.
Like, they send their good their more skilled soldiers into the weird dimension.
So was it seven before or after his wounds were taken into effect?
Oh, he does have wounds. I don't think that, I think that affects his rolls, not his static values. So I'm not going to look it up. I'm sure
it's seven. Ross, I'm sure President Andrew Jackson said.
Okay, fine. If I can make your damage roll. Yeah.
You
need to get a 16 to hurt him with your fists. Like, can you, I mean, you would have to roll pretty well on your strength check. You'd have to get an exploding value to even have a chance of hurting him,
because that is some pretty decent armor.
Yeah, your strength is d12 plus one.
I was more just trying to, like, knock him off balance a little rather than damage him.
Okay,
maybe just like
well, you could just if you made your check, you could have given him a plus two, but yeah, you're just kind of ineffectually. You're kind of like, ooh, you don't want to get stabbed.
It's like, oh, he's squiggly.
Yeah, he's squiggly. He's got a knife. So he's going to go. He is going to.
And I can't even do that. That's not a knife.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to try and stab you. He has a negative two to his roll, but he's good at fighting.
So it's not going to try to stab him?
Well, he tried to and found out how well that worked last time.
Well, he stabbed him, and you know, but you seem like an easier target to kill. So he's just trying to take one of you.
What an idiot.
Yeah. He does. Ooh, that's an exploding. So he gets a 16 to hit you.
Well, obviously he hit.
Yeah. So even with the negative two, yeah, that would definitely hit. So he is going to get an extra damage. So what's your armor?
Toughness 12. Armor is 3.
Okay. So, all right. So he needs to get a 9. And let's see here. But he gets an extra d6. Yeah. So he gets an 11. So that's just one wound. So, unless you want to spend a Benny.
No, I got one left.
All right. He rushes you and stabs you in the with a vibro knife.
Have you tried shrinking?
Yeah.
I can't recommend it enough.
Yeah, I'll say it's a chest wound. You know, you got a big chest, so it just like sticks it in there.
So much. I just want to do the.
Well, you tried, and you're not good at that. It turns out.
Yes, I am. Just because I failed this one time, do not be judging me, Ross.
I can't judge you by your actions. Not what you say.
No, I'm capable.
The dice do it well enough.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Steve
Knox spin. Yeah, I don't need you. The dice are saying more than enough.
All right.
So I've got a 12 to slice that guy.
All right. Yeah. Roll damage. At least he got some. He drew blood.
Good for him.
Yeah, he's got one left. You just need to get 9 or better.
Yeah, that is a 13.
Yeah, he's very dead. So
the bleeding edge of
him. Yeah, he knew he was cornered. And he went out swinging. So
good. Now you're dead.
Yeah. As you sink the scimitar into his chest, comes out the front. You can hear the gurgling through the little radio, those little voice transmitter as he just topples over. I'm quite dead.
Are you dead? Are you getting killed?
Yeah.
Did you just get stabbed in the back? Come in, like a sword.
No, we're fine here. We just stubbed our toes. Everything's fine here. How are you?
Yeah, do you want a bitty? All right, yeah, you hear that, and you grab the transmitter before you think. You say that. It's like, all right, wait, you don't sound vector.
Ident code
vector 5. Respond.
Naugahyde.
All right. Radio goes dead. They know that their team is gone.
Well.
Good work. I was joking.
Hey, what did a Benny?
I'll take
Who
it.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, yeah.
At this point, I am going to go over to Steve. Just, all right, how badly wounded are you?
I mean, I'm bleeding, obviously. But it's the principle of the thing.
Like, okay. Yeah, I gotcha. I understand, like, it's the principle.
He looked at me like I was the target he wanted to kill instead of you. What does that say? I mean, I'm the non-human here.
He looked at you and he thought that you were a bigger threat.
I don't think that's what he did.
I have a healing skill. Can I take care of some of our wounds?
I also have a healing skill, and next. I don't have to take a penalty to heal myself.
All right.
So why don't I heal up you and you?
Well, why don't you? You could heal up Cranberry, then Cranberry could heal up Steve.
Okay, that works.
It's the circle of life.
Simply. That way no one's draining all of their PPE for one. Yeah. You're distributing it more evenly.
Oh, that's an explode. So we are looking at, on the healing roll, that is an 11.
Okay. That'll heal your 2 wounds.
Excellent.
So now you can give me a healing check. And of course, yeah, mark off the PPE, make sure you're not restoring it.
Oh, I was just using my med kit.
Oh, well, that won't magically heal the wounds instantly. That'll stabilize him, but he'll still be wounded. So you don't, unless you use magical healing, he stays wounded. He just won't get worse.
Well, I will spend that Benny that I just got to, first off, use the healing spell, and then second, use that to get the PPE back because it's expensive.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So same, you are magically healed. So, but yeah, he's been, yeah. You were, what's the tattoo look like? Do you know? Did you write that part?
That one is a rose with a drop of blood on the rose stem.
So 44 touches where is it located?
That one is on the back of my arm. So you actually see me pull up the sleeve. And you're actually going to see this tattoo for a change, because most of them I just hide right under the edges of clothes. So touch the rose, and then there you go.
Yeah, your wounds heal up. Your flesh is stitched up as though it were never wounded. There's no scars. Yeah.
As though I sew the chaste Venus herself, expose her breast to me for but a moment. What a wonder, Mr. 44.
Poetic. Now give me a spellcasting check for you to heal up Steve.
Oh, okay. I rolled a 5 on that.
Okay, you have the healing spell too.
I don't know why I have healing as a skill.
Well, skill's like first aid.
Okay.
So you can stabilize his wound, he'll stay wounded. So you don't have to spend PP on that. So yeah, he won't get worse, and he'll stop bleeding, but you'll still have one wound.
Okay.
So if you don't have the healing spell.
No, I don't have that down here in my pouch.
Okay, yeah. Then yeah, you're just wounded.
Ow.
Yeah. Yeah, -1 to all rolls. Because it hurts.
Yeah.
You took it, like, you got stabbed
Wait,
in the
Ross,
chest.
Ross.
All right.
Pain don't hurt.
All right, yeah. God, I saw the fucking trailer for Amazon Prime's remake of Roadhouse.
Fuck that.
Starring Jake Gyllenhaal and
You're never gonna Evan be Patrick McGregor. Swayze. You're never going to have throat tearing.
It's set in Florida now.
It's not Missouri.
It's not. Yeah, it's not the same. Yeah. But it's Roadhouse.
Polar bear fell on me.
Polar bear. God, so good. All right. So you head to... Oh, yeah. You got the irradiation to deal with. Oh, you have the environmental protection spell. All right. Give me a spell casting check for that.
15. No, that's a 4, dude.
Well, no. Yeah, dude, so I'm sorry. I'm just, if you don't get a 6, it's probably bad.
So 4 succeeds.
While he's casting the spell, can I loot what's left of the coalition bodies?
Yeah.
Well, not the one I did.
Yeah, the one you did is gone. Everything, just there's just scrap left. The one you cut in half, you fucked up. You definitely destroyed his rifle. The last one you stabbed through the chest, I'll say his rifle is intact. So you get one, if you want to write this down, C-14 assault laser rifle, 2 C-18 laser pistols, 2 vibro knives, and 3 frag grenades. And obviously their armor is totally fucked because you fucking blew it up.
It's almost like somebody sliced through it with a magical sword or something.
Yeah. Or vaporized it with a plasma ejector or pulse ejector. Yeah. So, all right, you cast environmental protection and you walk through this basically Chernobyl section of the base. And Doctor, you go through and the radiation meters on your armor goes back to normal after... It's a bit unnerving to go through a hallway and just hear the Geiger counter just fucking freaking out and eventually stopping. But your magic holds and you get to you turn another corner and you can see like a brightly lit door that has stenciled on there Mega Pandu, a Pando access card, you know, it has a key card reader. She's like, oh, yes, of course, they do have key cards. Yes. Well, there is a security reset code. Unfortunately, I'm not the person. It's a personal question. I don't suppose any of you have any supernatural abilities about revealing secrets of the dead or anything. You said something about mocking the dead.
Yes, more of a simple cantrip, you know. It's something that very particular children in very particular school grounds might learn. But you know what? I haven't razzed a ghoul in a while. Haven't pantsed a specter. No.
Well, Dr. Gavin Malcolm, he was the one with the. So he would know the security question, the answer to the security question to unlock access to this lab. Could you conjure a spirit and get him to reveal the answer?
Man, I haven't conjured a spirit. You know what? I'm going to try for you. Absolutely. Why not?
All right. Make spellcasting check.
Dr. Malcolm, get your ass over here. Oh, it's a 1.
Are they both ones?
Yes.
Okay.
4.
All right. Yeah, well, that's sure. Yeah, you summon the spirit of Dr. Gavin Malcolm, who is a very... Like, what am I doing here? I'm in an afterlife I'm prohibited from speaking about. Why am I here amongst the realm of the living?
Oh, man, I have a particular piece of information that you have. Could I ask you to divulge it?
Oh, why should I divulge any of the secrets of the dead?
I'm going to ask politely.
Well, I will refuse politely.
Okay, what will it take to get you to talk to me?
The spirits of the living, of the dead, crave the world of the living. I don't suppose there's a small child I could possess and take their mind and live in, is there?
Would something childlike work?
Like what?
How about an albatross?
Hey, that's not cool.
Shut up, Julia.
No, I don't.
Imagine life on the wing, Spectre. You can do any foul ghouleries with a wild airborne.
No, it has to be human.
Does it? Now's unreasonable.
Make me an offer. What from the realm of the living can you offer me?
Have you ever wanted to be very tiny? How about a tiny ghost? You'll be able to sneak into many ghost dressing rooms.
I'm already intangible. I don't need that.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
You know?
Let me borrow. I have a
thought.
Yeah?
I'm being consulted by my consultant. Mr. 44, step forth.
No.
You know, he could give us the information now and then go back to that afterlife that he so craves. Or... he could refuse to divulge the information and stay right here in this fetid hallway ad infinitum. until such time as somebody removes the circle in which he is inscribed in.
Ooh, maybe we can put him in that game. How would you like to be a raid boss?
Give me a persuade, Jack.
Let's see here. 1d6. 6. Plus 4. And it was 11.
Oh, yeah, actually. He's like, yes, video games. I love video game.
These digital entertainments are quite a thing to behold, but it's an old thing to be inside one.
I played one where I had to keep a spreadsheet of all my holdings and made it was many hours of work to keep track of my monies. This game is very fun.
I have one where I pretended to be a girl. Now this way, please.
All right, so revealing more than we necessarily wanted. Yeah, he reveals the security question and unlocks it. Steve, what was the security question? What was the answer?
I'll give you a Benny if it amuses me.
Sorry, what was the question?
What
is the question?
Well, yeah, what's the question? Yeah, what's the answer? What is the question? And the answer is
Naugahyde.
There you go. That's like, and Dr. Reagan's like, God, Gavin, you were such an idiot. I hated your jokes. Your absurdist sense of humor. The world is absurd. He disappears into the ghost MMO. All right.
I'm the same one.
Yeah. Yes, Dr. Reagan's like, yes, I chose not to be insane. I simply chose not to. Being alone by myself for centuries with only this haunted base.
You know, dementia works the same way, too. As long as you're aware it's happening, it can't actually take hold.
Yes, that's what I said. Yes.
And you're doing very well. Pat, hand goes through.
I still haven't decided whether that's rude or not. Anyways, let's go talk to the tree.
To the tree!
So, yeah, you go in there. There's a massive greenhouse inside this science lab. And you can see, like, rows and rows and rows of the same tree. They look identical. And when you look at it, each tree, there are, like, arms and legs on each tree, like sort of woven into it, and there's a face on each tree that is asleep, and yeah, there's like a big computer. It's still powered up. Yeah, what do you want
to
do?
All right, we have to assume control of this tree computer, which that allows to bypass the crab.
Well, you can use the tree, yeah, the clone tree, Mega Pando. Well, you could read up the files on it if you want.
I read the files out loud for my compatriots.
Sure. Yeah, give me academics to make sense of it.
I never went to school. Academics. I'm so smart. 4.
Okay, so Mega Pando is part of a long-term project to send space arcs to other solar systems, Alpha Centauri, et cetera, et cetera. And basically, it would be the first wave. You would send a ship out with Mega Pando, go to a planet, and it would be sort of programmed to, like, build up the base. So when the humans got there, the humans were born, and, you know, little cloning machines or, like, you know, space, you know, techno wombs. So anyways, long-term sci-fi bullshit. So,
I'm immersed there, Ross.
Yeah, thank you.
Techno wombs.
Wombs.
Oh, wombs.
Yeah, yeah, like the babies would be born. You couldn't just put people in cryosleep. You'd just have them, like,
you'd be like, techno baby.
Yeah, you'd have sperm and eggs. You'd have them in the techno womb and grow up to be a person raised by robots. What could go wrong?
Your techno breast goo gaga.
Oh, damn, Chris.
So, Mega Pando. I think
you just described a new genre of music. We're going to have to find that muse now.
You can tell the scientists of this were like very like, are we making like a slave species to service? And like, that's not cool, is it? What if we made him like, okay, we like give him like a way out so he could do what he wants, so it's not questionable? And you're like, okay, yeah, let's do that, because, you know, if we make like this genetically engineered organism to service forever, it eventually betray us. So like, let's not do that. So there are terms and limits to, like, once you activate Mega Pando, you sort of go into bargaining with it to specify what you want from it and how long you want it to work for him. And the more you want from it, the more it will want from you in exchange. Now, you can set this aside for the future. You can even make a generation, like make the asshole 20 years from now pay for his services. But you kind of have to specify that up front. And then it's genetically imprinted on all the clones until that contract's fulfilled, that those obligations are fulfilled. It'll be genetically, like, driven to fulfill those terms. So it's like growing a demon and made of from trees and like various like octopuses and like all. It's just a horrible cocktail chimera. Yeah, yeah. So it'll do whatever you want, but you gotta pay it somehow and pay it in terms of resources like space, land, water. You can make other offers for it, but it's something that would like give it meaning. So it
offered access to that crappy maze we had to get to the mansion. That thing's infinite. It'll love it.
Yeah. So you have a lot to offer it. Yeah. You could offer it access to the multiverse, give it access to phase world. Like there's infinite things you can't offer. And so the question is like, and obviously this would, you know, from your limited officer training, this would be incredibly valued to Tomorrow Legion, and they have strategists there who could come with the perfect thing and make it like a generational advantage. But like that would take time for them to craft it.
But, yeah,
and you don't know how long you have access to this thing. And the Coalition was already just down the hallway, right? And they know that their team was wiped out. So you don't know how much time you have. So, or you can make it more open-ended, like work for us and we could do it a year and see how it goes and renegotiate after that. Like, yeah.
I'll offer him a chance of like, you know, yeah, we can use your help in Branson.
Mm-hmm.
And work with us and come with us, work with us now. Mm-hmm. And then we can work out something long term for you.
Okay.
Whether it's, yeah, we do have access to other dimensions.
Yeah.
We have access to many things you could use.
Okay.
But just for right now, as a sign of good faith, one clone that we can go take care of this crab.
Yeah. Okay. The other thing is the imprinting in terms of its personality. There's actually different ways to, like, right now, one, it's asleep, it's dormant, it doesn't really have a personality. Like, some are more, like, focused on building things and just being alone. Some of them are more social. Some of them are more, like, competitive or aggressive. Like,
that's totally social.
Totally social? Like,
let's do social.
Very extroverted, very mm-hmm. like wants to be
outgoing.
Outgoing. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'll even like, there's a little interface. Like, what you tell me what kind of personality, like, what should Mega Pando be like when it wakes up?
I suggest we dial up the extrovert knob all the way.
I'm dangerously thinking, like, yeah, almost like one of those broadcast announcers.
Oh God! Yeah, no. All right. Yeah, that makes sense. Cranberry, any input on this?
No, Tom's got it. Tail off top nail.
All right. Who's going to talk to Mega Pando when you activate him?
I guess as the officer, I'll.
All right. Yeah. So you step into the greenhouse. Mm-hmm. Any of the tree, you just go to the first tree in the rows mm-hmm. of it. There's a little, basically a little perfume spray you're supposed to spray, and that pheromone will unlock it and wake him up.
Like, spray it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's like, "Hi, I'm Mega Pando." Like,
hello there.
Hi.
Like, yes, like I am Lieutenant Ensign Steve with the Tomorrow Legion. You probably don't know me.
I don't know you. I don't know anyone.
Like, well, I'd like to change that.
That's great. I really like being around people.
Like, it's like, well, like, it's like, I know, like, you probably, it seems like you've been trapped in this place for quite some time.
I wouldn't know. I've been asleep the entire time.
Like, well, from what we can tell, it looks like you've been here a long time.
Oh, that's probably true then.
Like, and so I guess we're the first people you've ever seen?
Undoubtedly, yes.
Like, well, there's only the three of us right now, and our ghost friend. She's a person, too.
Ghosts are people. Good to know.
Like, but we were like, one, we are thinking we could maybe take you somewhere where there's a lot more people you could meet up with.
That would be wonderful.
And like, you could help us out, and we could give you things you need, light, space to grow, you know.
Amazing. Let's go.
Like, also, like, well, and for all that, but we, there's one thing we need to do. Like, if you could, we need to get past a crab, and the best way to do it would be to feed it.
Mm-hmm.
If you could send one of yours over there to feed it and distract it so we could,
yes,
accomplish our task here, we can take you with us.
That's great. I'll be happy to send one of my clone organisms into the maws of your enemy.
Like that is amazing.
Yeah.
You are gonna do so much good.
Great. So yeah, you cast your environmental protection spell, you get back.
Wait, I'm not sure you call it. Okay, I love this guy. We totally have to protect him.
So, oh, yeah. Absolutely. There's no way we're going to let anything bad happen to him.
So you go back to the crab chamber. There's the crab being a crab. And
one might say that it's acting a little crabby.
I'll just take that Benny away from you right now.
I was going to say that same joke, but I knew better.
So the, yeah, with Mega Pando sends in one of its clones to hello, I'm splashing water and being a helpless victim. I hope no one gets my tasty innards. And the giant crab,
rushes over,
scuttles over. I guess that's the right verb for a crab.
You scurry or scuttle.
Scuttling, I think it's more of a scuttle. And yeah, everyone probably needs to give me athletics to get the fuck across.
Let's do that shit.
Give me athletics. Give me sweat.
There you go. That's a 9.
22.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's 2 8s and a 4 plus my 2.
Yeah. So all of you run across the stairs that you jump down into the pit behind the crab as the crab is tearing apart Mega Pando. So, but the four of you, you three plus Mega Pando and the Reagan, of course, can just fly because she's a ghost, run through the tunnel behind the crab where the crab was and get to the surveillance center. And there you get, you know, Dr. Reagan does know how the surveillance center works. You open up and you can see access into this coalition camp. And they've set up a little camp. And they've got like 20, they got a whole platoon of guys, like 30 guys and defenses. And
we
like,
could take them.
So, yeah, that's the kind of the problem. There's like 30 of them and you barely handle 3. So
that was totally a fluke. I'm sure we could take them all out in one shot.
In a defense fortified position.
You know, I can't help but think quietly to myself, if only there was something that we could unleash on them that would soften them up, something that was, shall we say, hard-shelled and a little bit ill-tempered.
Battle. That would be a battle check to make a plan that would work like that.
Which I don't have.
Okay. Well, you're an officer, but you're not really good at the office, the tactics part.
Can't believe you played a game where you did take any skills to seduce the crab. That's how you were an adult, Thomas.
It's persuade. But apparently you can't use persuade on an animal to fall in love with you.
No. If you had to speak with animal spell, that would probably help.
Oh, yeah. It has to be you have to be magical to make an animal fall in love with you.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That's...
I don't know. I just don't know.
So at the surveillance center, you actually find there's also vents and ducts that you can open up. You can order opened up or, you know, hit the commands to open them up. And so you can crawl through them to get bypass the crab. So you don't have to go back through and deal with
that's
the crab.
That's good.
And these are like diehard type air ducts.
Is there ways any way we could like seal the camp in where it is?
If you do that you can, but that will buy you time. But they'll be able to, like, they'll seal in bulkheads and stuff like that. Well, again, you don't know. Yeah, does anybody have any skills to help access the surveillance center and sort of figure out more options? Battle would be one skill.
So computers, crazy question, yeah. Can we make a skill roll untrained if we don't have it?
Not battle. That's a pretty technical one. So if not...
Wait. Surely there's a way we can flood that chamber with lava.
Academics would be to help you figure out the physics of this.
Or academics will work then.
Yeah.
I roll me academics. See, that's 8.
That's a 6.
I've got an 18 on academics.
Okay.
Nice. Well, that beats the hell out of my 10.
All right. So you realize, yeah, there would be a way to do this, but this might be something for the other team to handle. You get information about, like, there is a toxic waste, an area with a lot of toxic waste. And if a team goes to 3 areas and blows 3 wall sections, it would flood the coalition camp with toxic waste. So, but that would require getting demolition charges and sort of planting them at the right spots. And also doing it probably like in a time, like synchronized so that like the coalition doesn't have time to get out of the way. So they're just minding their own business. And suddenly they're flooded with toxic waste. So
I've seen that Jason goes to Manhattan or Jason takes Manhattan.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But so just like that.
Just like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I definitely know what you're talking about. Yeah. Anyway, because I definitely remember that movie so well.
Ross is an expert in 80s slasher movies.
My favorite subgenre of horror is slashers. So but with that, you have quite a bit of information.
You should probably go back and report in.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Before we leave, there is one other piece of information that I think that the Legion would want from us.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the big old basket of plot hooks for later. The locations of the other muses.
Yeah, she tells you there is. Yeah, she tells you how to get there. And if you head that way, you all can give me notice checks.
Yes. Good.
Good.
Ooh, there we go.
Sorry.
Oh, that's another one. 16.
I got a 4.
I got a 14.
Okay. Nice.
Our eyes are like wide open.
Just getting the right step
block. Well, let's see all you if I'm seeing it.
Oh my god. Demon. Alright, this is there is a thing there. A monstrous being radiating demonic energies, and it is
another one?
Well, this is probably from the it's not Crab, it's not Coalition. So it turns out that the Federation of Magic is here, and they have sent out a demon as a scout. So you can try and sneak around it. You can try and fight him. It is by itself. But let's stand through this thing.
But there's only one of them?
Yeah.
All right, Steve. I think that it's probably best if we sneak around it. But if we fail to sneak, I think we should be ready to respond with deadly force.
Well, I'm always ready to respond with that. But yes, we should try sneaking first.
Okay. So it is trying to get into the area you're getting in. You want to get into. So it seems to be stuck. And you're not sure why. There's not like blocked by a wall, but it's kind of like studying something in the darkness. It has clearly some kind of dark vision. But you're not able to see what it can see. So... yeah. What do you want to... You can try and sneak around it, but it would be at a negative 6 because...
It's directly at the thing we need to get into.
Yeah. And it's not approaching that door or that location because of something. And you're not sure what that is because you can't see... You're farther back. You don't have a good angle. Does that make sense? You ever got a picture?
Yeah, I have a 1d8 in occult. Could I perhaps use this skill to ascertain some sort of weakness this demon may have?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That we may exploit.
Mm-hmm. Its weakness is guns.
Yeah.
What's a 5 get me?
A success.
Okay.
Yeah. So demons are vulnerable. All demons are vulnerable to holy things, but you don't have any right now. Now, demons, this is a demon that is actually a very classical demon in the sense that you can either make a Faustian bargain with it or you can challenge it to a contest of some kind.
Again, Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, they all love it. They love the contest, but...
it seems like you would be the one to be able to do that with a...
It would not be music, though. This would be more like a riddles or a game of skill, like chess. So it'd be a pure intellect chess. And if you lose, it's going to be very nasty. It's going to be a curse that will... Yeah, because your soul is stolen.
So. I will entertain a Faustian bargain with this demon.
Ah, okay.
Ross said, a smile spreading across his face.
All right, so you're striding forth and like, all right. So you stride forth. This is like a gargoyle-like looking demon, hunched, powerful. Its red. Wings, like gray, black, you know, gargoyle-ish, but like a black aura around it. Turns, it's like, mortal, you stride boldly, unafraid of my powerful energy. Yeah.
Yes, because I'm busy. Listen, we have to make a deal quickly.
You wish to make a deal. What do you want?
Well, I want access to you're in the way, frankly. And, you know, I understand we're at loggerheads and you necessarily can't leave us alone. So, you know, what's it going to take for you to leave this door alone and, more importantly, us?
Oh, I'm not at the door. As you can see, I'm around the corner. I'm looking at the door. I'm not at it. I'm not blocking you. In fact, you know what? Please be my guest. Go first.
All right.
All right.
he waved us through.
Yeah, he did.
Like, you know, like, there's going to be something dangerous behind that door.
Yeah, you stride boldly forward, and the sentry turrets open up. Yeah, that's maybe. Why the demon wasn't going through the door, because he's like, what the fuck am I going to do with those sentry turrets? So, yeah, you don't have to worry about a curse. He's just kind of fucking let you get lit up by the plasma cannons.
Shit.
Yep. All right, you got a bitty left? Yeah.
Yeah,
you probably want to roll that. This is 3 wounds. Yeah, what was your toughness again?
My toughness is 5.
Yeah, this is like a 16, or like an, yeah, no, this is like an 18 attack, yeah.
So I'm just going to blame Stetson.
Yeah. I'm a bird, yeah. I would advise you to ask for my advice.
It's like, let's just shoot the sentry guns.
Okay. All right, anyway, so this is a combat. First off, do you want to make that soak check?
Yeah.
All right. Roll vigor. So you get your roll d6 too.
Oh, okay. 7.
Okay. Seven, you soak one, so you take two wounds. So yeah, you get hit up by the plasma rifle sentry turrets. The demon rushes forward and goes through the door since the plasma turrets were shooting you.
You're finally punishing
me. Yeah.
Oh, it's fun. Okay.
I told you the demon was like not going through the door. He was looking at something you couldn't see. And he was like, yeah. He's like, what the fuck do I do to those sentry turrets? And then this idiot comes in and is like, I wish you make a demon. I wish you go through the door. I was like, oh, well, go right ahead. Not exactly a battle of wits here. Anyway, new. Yeah, yeah. You two were just watching because, it was.
Actually, I'm involved with the. Ooh.
Yeah.
That's going to sting.
Yeah.
That's really, really
good. Yeah, yeah, let's just shoot those things.
All right. So.
Well, you can shoot, but I'm not very good at shooting. But on the other hand.
All right. Yeah. Well, yeah. You weren't like surprised. So you get actions this round. So
I shoot the plasma.
There are two plasma turrets.
Shoot one of them.
Okay. Roll shooting. You're a negative one. You need a five or better. Are you doing the rate of fire three?
Yeah.
So you'd be a negative five total.
Okay.
For each shot. Or yeah. Yeah. You're negative five and you need a four.
Okay. Well, four on that one.
Okay.
Miss that one.
Okay.
And I hit once.
Okay. Roll damage. Their total armor is 20.
Wow. So I have to inflict 20 to do any damage to him? Mm-hmm. Well, screw that.
All right. Well, you have a big gun, but with no armor piercing, it kind of. Mm-hmm. All right. What are you doing?
Well, upon seeing that, just going to reach up, grab the back of my neck, and pull out my javelins.
Okay. Yeah.
Going to toss a couple of them over to Steve. Mm-hmm. Because I get six javelins per activation, and mine are winged, so they will come right back to me.
Okay.
So I'm going to throw a couple of javelins at the one on the left.
Okay. Need a five to hit.
Well, the first roll is a seven, and then the second roll is a miss.
Okay.
So I can throw two per round.
Yeah, yeah.
Obvi. And that's going to be 2d6 plus 1d8.
Do they have armor piercing?
They do.
How much armor piercing?
Armor piercing 6.
Okay. Yeah, all of it. So you need a 14.
Let's see. That is 6. Only got a 12.
All right. They're heavily armored turrets. Weird. This is a military base. So yeah, the demon is went in through. Reagan floats in after him to go see what he's doing. And Mega Pando is kind of looking at all of you. It's like, what the fuck do I do? Like, I'm just... Just a tree. He's just hanging back watching. That's a new round. Yeah.
Sure, I'll try one of the javelins.
Okay, yeah.
I've never thrown anything magical before.
So is it just athletics, right?
Oh, yeah, just athletics to hit.
That's good. That's also a D10.
Need a five.
And you can throw two of them.
Well, fuck my life.
Okay.
Yeah, first one's a miss.
Okay. You can roll. You get two attacks.
Yeah, so I'll throw the second one.
All right.
Seven, okay.
All right, that hits. Roll.
Okay, you so need it's 2d6 plus your strength.
Okay, well, I can.
2d6 plus 1d12 okay, plus 1.
Don't be a dick, be a dude.
And because of the armor piercing, you need
that's a 4. 2d6?
2d6 yes. Plus.
Well, there's a 6. 10. Right. And second 6.
Okay.
11.
All right.
Now we're talking. That's a 12.
Okay.
So 23, 27.
All right, you the javelin goes right through the barrel, explodes the turret.
That's a good throw.
Well, the turret is going to go. The last turret is going to go. And it's going to try and shoot you.
Everyone wants to shoot
you. And it does hit you with a five. And then it is going to
do... Well, to be fair, you did just explode the other turret.
Yeah.
Well,
they're not sentimental.
Yeah. You're stunned this round, so you're not doing anything. So, yeah. And that is a 15.
Yeah, of course.
Robert. All right. You take a wound.
I have a wound.
All right. You're stunned for the next round.
Okay. You said a five would hit?
Hmm?
Okay. So my first javelin will hit.
Okay. And you just need a 14. And these have one wound because they're turrets. So you get a 14 or better on damage, you kill it.
No.
Okay.
I rolled two ones and a two. So.
Well, those are low numbers. You want to roll high numbers.
Oh, I'm aware. I'm just hoping that the second javelin will be better than the first.
Oh, okay.
And I've got an 8 to hit plus a 5. So that's a 13 on the die plus 2. So 15.
15. That's enough. You can roll more if you want to see how much more it blows up, but you blow it up. It's a turret, yeah.
Okay.
All right, you recover this round at Cranberry. It's a new round. The turrets are gone. Sorry. The door's open. Sorry,
quite frankly, I'm stunned.
Yeah, yeah, you're stunned this round.
Just going to grab Steve.
Yeah.
And just carry him for this round.
All right, so the three of you rush into the lab, and this was the lab with the information of the other muses. So you run in the big control room and there's a big like display, like a massive computer screen that takes up an entire wall. Think like, you know, war room kind of thing. And it shows a map of Earth with a bunch of blips on it. And it's like kind of flickering and like there's damaged consoles. And the demon is like looking at a console and is very delicately plugging in a USB drive. And he finishes plugging it in and a little percentage bar pops up on the screen. 1%, 2%. 3%. And he turns to you, he's like, I have mastered this device. What?
I withdraw my blue-green laser pistol and I bullseye that USB drive.
All right. Well, that'll be -2 to your shooting. You need a 6 or better.
Fine.
It's a small target. And you also have -2 because, so it's an 8 for you, actually, because you're wounded twice.
6 + 2 is 8. 13.
All right. Yeah. He's like, confound. Well, that's your action. The demon spent his action to be like, haha, I have won. Oh, damn.
That's what you get for being a dick. I trusted you.
I'm a demon.
Actually, I'm actually going, well, he's got it.
Well, he does have a very big point there. Yeah.
Like, he could have been the exception.
Yeah.
I think that.
We wouldn't have tieflings otherwise. There have to be good demons out there.
I was like, okay, does this mean the demon look kind of put off by that?
Yeah, it's just like, what about my vibe is welcoming? I cultivate a very hostile vibe. Anyways.
I should be like, hey, don't mind him. He's pretty optimistic.
Okay. I mean, look, the mouthful of teeth that are all very, very pointy. I mean, you're doing a good job.
Good.
I
appreciate your committing to the aesthetic, mm-hmm. and
frankly, looking at you, I would never trust you.
Well, I have been bound by my summoner to come here and gather certain information from this
Federation of Magic, right?
I am prohibited from saying, but you sound like an intelligent person.
Yeah, it's
so okay. Federation of Magic. How do we break that summon so you can go back home where it's nice and warm?
Well, none of you seem to be a powerful shifter. You smell like an ocean wizard.
This is true.
Yes, I knew it.
The sea breeze.
The way my binding was worded is that I am not prohibited from preventing others from accessing this information, but I am not supposed to. I'm supposed to attack certain enemies on site, but I'm not sure what faction you are on. Are you a faction that would be what faction do you build?
Who's to say?
Who is to say? Now
is it a faction? Is it a family? Is it a group? Is just a group of people a faction?
Yes. Well, if we find ourselves in a conundrum, so if we fight here, all of these delicate machines containing the information I value, and I'm sure you value, would be destroyed.
That'd be terrible.
Yes.
We don't want to break things like that.
So you did break my USB drive, but I always bring a backup USB drive.
Like, dude, holy shit, demons have USB drives.
I was given a bag of USB drives. They're very cheap.
He's mastered the art of the universal serial bus. We're well and truly fucked, gentlemen.
Give yourself another bit, Benny.
You should come around, just hang around when I think no one's in my house. That would make you laugh all fucking day.
Sorry, I see your Twitter feed. Yeah, I get it.
How many bennies would you get then?
So the
what do you guys like? Let's just all we'll all take a look.
Okay. Yeah, if you're willing to not interfere with him he's getting
the problem. That means that now we're going to be racing with the Federation of Magic trying to get to the various different ones. Yeah. We can't let him take the information with him.
That is a well, are you whispering this so he can't hear?
No, yeah. Let's just fucking say it.
Okay.
I mean, I just don't feel like playing the like are we or aren't we game. That's mm-hmm. because also I'm terrible at it.
Yeah. So, I am my binding says I'm to go here, get the certain information, then return. Now, if I have not been able to access the computers, and if certainly someone else were to get here faster and access the computer, I may then be unable to find the information I was requested to send. So, what's it worth if I were to be slow in my mission?
What would you like for it to be?
And first of all, no souls. Slow. We don't play that shit.
Well, what do you have to make me an offer?
I've got a great big bag of beef jerky.
Come on, give me some credit.
How would you feel about being in possession of an animal familiar?
Oh, yes, I would.
All right. Stetson?
Yay. Stetson's not sure where this is going.
Neither am I. But if it's the shortest path to saving the universe, aren't you glad to be a part of it? Another brick in the road?
Stetson can let the universe. There's multiple universes. Stetson can go to another one.
Oh, not without my help, you can't.
Stetson.
You're as magical as I fucking make you.
Stetson is unable to do anything about it, but is not cool with this.
You know what? Don't worry. I got you to your girl once. I'll get you to her again. But for now, I just need you to go ahead and be this guy's little chicken leg or whatever.
The demon. Yeah, you can give me a notice check to kind of read the demon's motives.
Oops, I'm sorry. That's a five.
Okay. Also, with your knowledge of the occult, yeah, you Stetson is bound to you, and you can command Stetson to do that. The demon knows this, too, because he can sense magic, and, you know, he 100% the demon is going to try and turn Stetson against you and, like, try and have him kill you. Because he's a demon, and he's a dick like that. That's what they love. The apprentice killing the master? Classic. So, yeah, you can solve this problem now to deal with to create a problem for you later.
I can win him back. I can win Stetson back.
Okay.
Cranberry. Obviously, even as the officer in charge, this is magical shit, so I'm gonna that's your business. Are you sure this is, if you are sure that's a good idea, I'll go along with it.
I know me. I can do this. It will be briefly unpleasant for that bird, but in the end, you'll be quite happy.
Stetson, is it right?
Yes.
Stetson!
Hey! You're in command, right? You could order him not to do this.
The thing is, I find myself in a bit of a quandary here.
Oh, no! Stetson doesn't like the sound of that.
I'm just
going to plug in a USB while they're talking.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, he says he can win you back. And he's a clever, he's damn clever. I mean,
Stetson is going to be going to hell.
Not being punished. They're not going to torment him, are they?
Listen, I don't know what this demon's capable of, but I know what I'm capable of. And I can win him back. He's my familiar.
All right. We got to give him something when he comes back to make it all worthwhile.
Yeah, it's called pussy, all right? He got some. He has both to get back here. He doesn't to be with his good bastard, which is me, all right? He's got it. He can come back from hell. And when he tries to get us, I'll stop talking again.
Well, I feel like we should offer him something else. There's something
in this. This is the horse ranch all over again. He's my bird.
I feel bad, but I also want to complete our mission. This is
it's a quandary, yeah, for sure.
Oh man, I don't mean to be like flippant here, but your feelings on the matter don't really accrue to us getting this mission done and saving the universe.
Stetson.
Yes,
you're a magical bird. Yes.
Yes.
So what is something? What would you consider like a treat beyond words? Like something
not
like,
going to hell.
Okay, work with me here, please. I'm trying to find a way around this.
No! Stetson's not going to make it easy for you.
You know what? I'm trying. Look, I'm going to let you do it, but I'm trying to find some way to make it work.
Oh, my God. Leave the room if it bothers you, Jesus.
I can't do that.
You can't.
Oh, just cover. I got a little cloth there. Cover your head. Jesus. God can't see you now.
All right, you rack your mind, you can't really think of anything that would
I don't know anything about magic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Weird.
The worst case scenario, we could just,
think.
Well, if you fight the demon, it's probably going to fuck up the room, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We could maybe convince the demon to step outside.
Do you know anything about magical shit?
Why would the demon step outside? Like, he knows what you want is in here. Yeah. He's got to stay.
Do you know anything about magical shit?
Quite a bit, yeah.
Well, he's like, what is something that maybe is like beyond amazing for a creature like that? I'm trying to think of something we could have ready for
demon?
Not
Stetson?
Yeah, Stetson.
Okay.
Something that would actually, like, something that would either make him forget all of his time in hell or make it worthwhile. I'm willing to do either one.
Well, I'm thinking that if we offer the demon something different, like, for instance, the chance to make deals with a bunch of damned souls trapped inside a ghostly
MMO. He can do that on his own.
Well, no, if you offer him the ghost MMO, that would definitely be worth it. But you're an expert. Both are the expert of the cult. That would fuck up the ghost MMO. Like that. That's he's going to corrupt all those.
That's the end of that revenue stream.
Probably turn into a big problem for the whole region. Like, yeah.
Look, if you guys ever, watch a Yakuza movie or whatever, there's a trope here where, a subordinate takes the fall for the chairman when the chairman commits a murder or other big crime. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They go to jail for decades even.
Yeah.
Okay. Stetson's doing. I'm his chairman. I'm his boss.
All right. Yeah.
His consul, I believe.
Give me a persuade check. Yeah. Yeah. It's duty. Yeah. Yeah. 1d6. Yeah. It's what he signed up for when he got that magical contract.
That's a tree.
Three.
Three.
That's not a success.
You want to do it? Like, you want to do it, Benny?
Yeah.
You got one.
I have to pull another funny joke out of my butt to give me another one.
There you go.
6 + 6 + 5 is that's a 17.
Okay, yeah. With that, you're like, you signed up for the stats. This is what it takes to be a familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I control you.
Yeah. Well, he agreed to it. Like, he wanted magical power, wanted to be more than just a bird. You've extended its lifespan. Like, being a familiar has a lot of benefits for the
now he will become more than a familiar. Now you have to pay for
him. Yeah, yeah.
Festering under the dark shadow of his enormous power, this demon may mold you into a new enemy. But when you come for me, know that I'll do it with open arms.
Yeah.
My love for you does not falter. It's conveniently less right now.
So, the demon takes Stetson and there's a flash of fire and they disappear in Brimstone. He will come back after you have left to see what data is left.
Let's make sure there's none after you get it all.
Yeah. Dr. Reagan tells you how to format the drives after you copy off the data.
And then we can just break them all.
Yeah. 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 Pretty easily.
I just like, okay, like this is all computer shit, but hey, afterwards, you want to help me smash everything?
Yeah.
Do I?
I thought you might.
Yeah. 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 You
have. It'll be cathartic.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've got these lovely coalition grenades.
Yeah, if you want to use them, sure.
Right. Is there just like
I've also got these lovely coalition rifles.
Is there just like a big metal pipe?
Sure.
Like I'm going to go old school.
Yeah. All right. You trash the place.
Unless we have everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You have all the data you need. You have three leads.
Like, oh my God, I love doing this so much.
All right.
Yeah, let's play the hammer game.
Yeah, it's easy. And Stetson is somewhere. And all of you are able to grab the muses leads and go safely back to the break room, which is your entry point into the orchestra, this facility. So, and Dr. Reagan can't leave the place, but she will remain there. And you bring Mega Panda with you. And with the Tomorrow Legion scientists and strategists, they'll be able to forge a new contract with the entity and grow an army of Mega Pandas to protect the Lee, help fortify.
I mean, the great people of Branson.
Oh yeah, no, the Mega Panda is very eager to meet all the people.
By the way, I'm not sorry. I said announcer voice.
Yeah, hey, it's Mega Panda.
But then again, you can also totally remember what his voice is.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
It's so natural.
It's very natural. So yeah, you're able to save, get a lot of data, and so you have four new missions: one to take out the coalition base at the encampment at the orchestra, and then you have three new muse leads, and you've scattered out and you also got the Symphony of the End data, which is what you really needed, because once you can decrypt it, you can learn what the end game is and like who will be able to, what you need to do to perform the symphony, which will remake the universe in whatever way you want. You could end war, you could end crime, you could end life. Yeah.
No, that's
maybe not that. Yeah. Well,
life is what I am. I need that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make things extremely comfortable for myself and only myself.
End all non-cranberries.
Non-cranberry activities are prohibited.
Only bog hex is allowed.
Only bog hexing.
So question, comments, questions. Did you like this episode? I want to do
I know. I like the whole thing. It's like, I mean, I want to help the bird, but it's also none of my business.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of your business. Yeah.
I really appreciate you fucking let me step in my own dick. That was funny.
Yeah.
And I take it more seriously now.
Stetson is now enemy from hell.
For now.
Stetson. For the moment.
That's the horror movie. Stetson, enemy from hell.
The albatross from hell. Sounds like a really shitty 1970s, like, Italian horror film set on a ship. Stetson, the albatross from hell.
Weathered VHS cover, red border.
From the director of Deathbed, The Bed That Eats.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so we'll see what happens in the next adventure.
Yeah, we will.
Of the Tomorrow Legion. I'll talk to you all later.
I like this plan. Here. I'm excited to be a part of it.
Yeah, all right. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, and...